Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 5th anniversary. This is Austin Theory, and you're listening to WrestleCast Radio all day.
Hey, hello to all my friends of WrestleCast Radio. This is Flip Gordon, and I'm very excited to introduce you to one of my favorite wrestling radio shows.
Hey, what's up, guys, from WrestleCast Radio. This is Humberto Carrillo, WWE Superstar.
You are listening to WrestleCast Radio.
El Latino está en la casa, baby. Welcome to WrestleCast Radio.
Hello there. This is the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay, coming from you live from the Tokyo Dome in Japan. And you are listening to WrestleCast Radio.
What's going on? This is the man of the hour, Leo Rush, the 24-year-old piece of gold himself. And you are officially listening to WrestleCast Radio.
Shit. Time to get down, y'all. Time to get down, get funky. With your boy, Two Cold Scorpio. Get ready to open up this show live right here on the WrestleCast Radio. That's right. So if y'all already don't know, now you know. This is your boy, Two Cold, and I'm ready to get funky. So everybody out there, turn it up. Let's do this.
The hell was that show, Castle Attack or Hyper Blast or whatever the fuck it was?
Hyper Blast? What is
or
it?
Not Hyper Blast, Duntaku. Duntaku, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking New Japan, yes.
Roadblock, end of the line, sorry. But man, oh
Isn't
man,
it,
Dragon Gate is back in full effect. They never left, but holy shit, man, these first three nights of the King of Gate, and I say three nights because I realized there was a show in between the two.
Really?
And, I'm watching actually match two. There's only two matches on the show. I'm watching match two as we speak, and it only aired on their YouTube.
Only on their YouTube? What are the two matches on that then? Were there people in attendance?
Yeah, people in attendance. It was like a house show.
Okay.
So it didn't air because I guess it's not going to air on Gayora.
Yeah.
But the opener was a hot – I went 3 1/4. UT defeated Kagetora with the Passion to get the win. It was a really good match. And I was stupid excited for UT, just like I was when he came out Dead or Alive with KZ defending those Kyushu Pro tag titles from Okinawa Wrestling, Garukin Masks Company. But now it's Kaisuke Okuda versus Problem Dragon, and I heard that's not a good match at all. And the first 5 minutes I watched of it, I am not – I don't know, man. Something about Kaisuke Okuda is just – I don't know what it is anymore. Like, he's in there with Kaito Ishida, and it's some of the best shit I've ever seen. And then I'm starting to go, man, was it just because he was in there with Ishida or SB Kento? Because, like, I'm not
enjoying
honestly,
I think
problem.
That's what it is. That's a great evaluation of him, because, I kind of noticed a little bit of that, too. But seeing Ishida and Sexy Boy Kento, you know, kind of do their thing and flourish, you're just like, oh, what's happening?
Yeah, I'm like, Okuda and Problem Dragon are kind of just rolling around. I mean, they don't do anything wrong, but I'm just like, I don't know, it doesn't help that Problem Dragon's not very good either. Or Monday Rio, whatever the fuck you want to call them. But they're in Gifu, so it's a hometown match for a Problem Dragon, and he's just getting his ass kicked over here. They're like having a boxing match, like a kickboxing match. I don't know, probably because he's going to, Kaisuke Okuda's going to go have a fight in Ryzen coming up soon, which he has a horrific MMA record, so I don't know why he'd go back. But
oh, why is he even trying? Who is he, Phil Brooks? Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. He's he gets missed.
No disrespect. I mean, he did it, but one of those decisions was overturned in his favor, I believe. But what about the NFL getting that Disney money, getting that ESPN, that Hulu, that FX
Disney?
Coverage coming to Rock? Yeah, they're going to be a Disney exclusive.
That's huge. That's huge.
Pretty wild.
Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know Tampa Bay went up 2-0 on them bitch ass Panthers though. But that's beside the point.
Damn.
Tampa, we're about to three-peat. That's all I got to say about that. That because
is it?
Good for Dwayne the Rock Johnson on that one. Getting that money. Oh, they scored in the final.
Which kind of money is that, Ryan? Is it the infamous, you know? Well, I guess we can't say that anymore. We don't want to. Even though it's a song that we used to bump.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what the E gets. That's definitely the E.
That was un-PC talk. Oh, jeez.
Got
him! Wow, I can't believe it's been that long. Strong Style Media represent. Don't forget, download and subscribe. Rate us over on the Spotify's and the Apple's, iHeartRadios, et cetera, et cetera. blogtalkradio.com/Strong Style Media. Don't you forget to subscribe there. And, of course, listening live, that one person. Hey, Mom. Actually, my mom doesn't even know I still have a podcast. But, hey, it's always good and great. Ryan, of course, a lot of craziness in the world of wrestling since we've last spoke. Of course, a couple of big events coming up that we'll talk to. A really awesome tournament, as you were stating, over in Dragon Gate, King of Gates, just starting, as well as Dead or Alive from May 5th, one of their pinnacle events of the year, if not one of Ryan's favorite shows of the year. Oh, wait, nope, that might be night one of King of Gate. But, of course, New Japan in the news. A lot of craziness outside of the ring. A lot of people dipping. Kota Ibushi pulling his best Sasha Banks impression before the latest Sasha Banks, you know, impression done by the boss herself. Also, breaking news earlier today, Stephanie McMahon taking some time off as the chief brand strategist officer that she was. Nick Khan allegedly stepping in.
I wonder why.
And Brandi Rhodes is going to get that deal. She's going to be the chief brandy officer for the WWE, Ryan?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of weird how that kind of came together. Just saying. I'm not saying
weird,
it,
but she didn't
even
do anything for AEW.
I don't know. Some of those charities were actually pretty big, I think.
Well, the charities, yeah, but I mean, it didn't help fiscally.
Well, but how much did, if Tony Khan is in as much control as he says and they say is, how much did he even let her really do?
Ooh. Well, yeah, I suppose. You better get those Cody counter clocks starting, because I'm sure we'll get into our Cody Rhodes discussion in about 57 minutes and 22 seconds. How crazy is that? That Cody Rhodes is the biggest star in the world, being seen by almost double, getting more YouTube views than a AEW Dynamite, Nielsen rating and whatnot. But how crazy is that? That they are giving him the ball. He's been performing. I mean, you can't be bad with the Seth Rollins. But what are your thoughts on Cody Rhodes being?
I mean, he's moving the needle. His quarter hours, from what I heard, are moving the needle. I don't look as much into that as others do, but I've heard he's moving the needle. My only concern is he's already talking in promos of Sports Illustrated that, obviously, I'm here for the Holy Grail, the WWE, the title, the world title. And he's like, but, you know, the Intercontinental title is another great one, and if I have to work my way through that to get to the heavyweight title, then so be it. Excuse me. I just had some stupid hot spicy ramen that was really good.
Another Taco Bell pizza, which, by the way, give a quick review on your two.
I had one both days before they came out. I literally almost stopped on the way
before?
Home. Yeah, they didn't get released till today.
Oh, how did you get the special treatment there, Cook?
Should I speak or not? Let's just say I work at my work of business does a lot of printing for somebody above a district manager for that.
Damn,
for a
you're company. Tight.
Or
you're
also,
really tight.
That is a shoot. But also, if you have the Taco Bell app, you got 2-day early access. I was just trying to sound tight.
I was about to say, it's like when, like, I would have customers come in and give me, like, cigars and, like, random shit. Like, here's $20. Like, I didn't do anything. They're like, I know. Here's a nice, expensive cigar. Here's a bottle of booze. Like, I've gotten, like, here's a pie. Here's a tray of cookies. Like, I mean, it's crazy where I'm like, I can do this?
No, I almost went. There was two times. Once today, I took my sales supervisor, because he doesn't have a car, before Klecker left to go get some vape for his vape thing, even though I was like, I don't want to go take you to get this. And then he's like, I'll get everything done in the back before we leave. And I said, okay, fine. So I took him up there, and then he's like, I'll buy lunch for you doing it. He got almost everything done, but he got called out a couple times, so I'm not mad at him. He was the only one on the floor, so he had to. But he's like, I'll buy dinner. Gotcha. And I was like, man, we should really go to Taco Bell. And then I was like, no, we got to get back. We got to get back to the store. And then on the way home today, as I'm driving past Wheelock and Larpenter on 35E, and there's a Taco Bell in the corner of Rice and Larpenter, like, my hands started shaking and I started sweating and I almost got off on the exit. But I was like, no, I need to get home to the microwave and call Alex.
Shaking.
So we can figure out radio tonight. Because otherwise, it would have been probably 20 minutes from now when we'd be starting. And I'm like, we need to get going. We were going to start earlier, I think. I don't want to miss another night. Yesterday, I was already mad I had to miss. By the way, I still haven't. I'm like 88% done with my Fire Pro. I got everyone down.
Yeah, give the
music.
Yeah, give a little, let the listeners know your craziness that that happened the last couple of days involving Pro Wrestling Summit, which you can backlog on twitch.tv/WrestleCastRadio for Pro Wrestling Summit every Friday night, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Ryan, it sounded like you got hacked pretty recently, and they deleted all your shit. What? What's up with that?
So, like, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago, my Facebook got hacked. But they posted some, like, jihad military, like, guns and flags. And they're like, you can't do that. I was like, I didn't.
And then they did what? I don't remember seeing that. That's crazy.
And then my Instagram, like, a few weeks later got hacked. And they changed the name to Kelly Clarkson and tried to get people to, like, do Venmo scams with them. So then.
Wow. Yeah, you were one of those people?
Yeah, I got hit with that. And then yesterday, I went on the summit to look at my roster and plan my card. And I couldn't log into my PlayStation network. And it's because then they hacked my PlayStation account. And I tried to call Sony, and Sony might be the worst customer service I've ever heard in my entire life, because they wouldn't do anything for me. When, like, I answered a question wrong about the city that I started my account in. I guess it was Woodbury, not Maplewood. So they, like, initially, like, closed the chat. Like, we can't help you anymore. And then I signed back in two more times, and they booted me both times from the chat.
I mean, they're so, literally next to each other. Well, sorry.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys are unbelievable. So I made a new PlayStation Network, and I spent from, like, 2 o'clock till, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning last night, maybe 2, minor little breaks here and there, re-downloading every character on all 10 factions I have, and then I need to re-download all the women in the women's tag tournament. I need 14 out of the 32 because I'm in the second round. And Alta Lavella, Cabaligon, Julian Sioria. Sioria went to the advanced to the semifinals next week, or in 3 weeks. So, like, I didn't need to download the team they beat and shit. I've downloaded them, but after this, then I got to go on and upload their music and put them in their right teams. And then I got to download all the freelancers that I want to use that I had in just a normal section. Then I got to get the ring. Then I got to get all my refs. And then I got to do this before Summer Games, which is June 24th, by the way, 2022, June 24th, 2022, Summer Games 3. But then I got to redo all the pay-per-view entrances where I have, like, longer themes and, like, delayed entrances for the themes to last longer. Like I have Kenny Omega come out to his, like, whole big expanded, like, takes, like, 45 seconds for him to walk out type shit, which is really cool. So I got to wait for all that to happen. But I can do that later, but... Yeah, I probably put about 12 hours into it yesterday. And Demetrius's Xbox was under that email because I set it up for him because his Yahoo wasn't originally working when he got his 360. So Demetrius can't play on his gamer tag anymore. And yesterday they tried to make purchases on the credit card of his. But Microsoft has worked with me for about an hour today. I answered all these questions. I gave him all this information. The guy was like, yeah, I'd be pissed too. And they're like, we're going to do this. And they're escalating it up. And I made him a new email to use the account. So I think we're going to save Demetrius's gamer tag at least. But
Nice.
It's not that I care. But like, I don't play online for PlayStation, so it doesn't bother me. The thing that pisses me off is it was about $110 for all the downloadable content for Fire Pro. So now I have to rebuy all that from this account. Because I need to Stardom. I guess I could skip the Stardom packs and then just download the characters. But if there's any moves in those packs that I need it, and it's just a headache. So I think I'm going to buy, like, one at a time and see how many wrestlers I can unlock and then just buy them over time without needing to use certain people. But, yeah, just a shit. It ruined my day. And then I almost had to go in and close my store yesterday because both of my closing part-timers didn't show up.
All tappers. Who didn't?
My two part-timers that were supposed to close, and
jerk.
I forgot one of them asked to switch to work today because he's getting a surgery done. And I said, that's cool. So that I fucked up on. But
postpone your surgery, bro. What are you doing? You got to close.
the other person didn't call or anything, and then today they didn't come to work either. And they know tomorrow when they see me, it's going to be an office visit and two write-ups. They're going on a final tomorrow. And if they try to deflect on me and say it wasn't their fault, then they're gonna hit with these two things right here.
Then I'm gonna
point at him and go,
get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Man, it sounds like Kota Ibushi to New Japan and Bushi Road, if you will.
Gosh, so that Kikuchi guy that he's talking about, apparently he's the chief
branding officer of New Japan, right?
He used to be in the front office.
Okay.
And then he was let go. Now, this is what I was told from – this is coming from the same person who told me about Forbidden Door.
Yep.
So I –
which we knew weeks before.
Yeah, exactly. So I trust this source. And they said what he is he now works for the television network. The TV Asahi or Arashi or whatever it is, and he still has influence in the company, And apparently, and this is the one that I've heard, the two main people I get my information from have had a complete different answer on both of this. So I don't know the complete answer.
Interesting.
But it's some people in the locker room are really cool with the guy and get along with him, and that's why certain things happen. But at the end of the day, they always talk about Gato. And some people said that he has more pull than Gato, and he has the final say over Gato. They just never talk about him because Gato is meant to be.
Wait, is
he
the Nick Khan of New Japan then?
I mean, that's a good. That's a great way
to put it. Or more
the
John Laurinaitis.
I guess I would go Laurinaitis, especially after what I found out today from that Naomi shit that I was talking or that I said that I didn't put it in the group chat because it's like a 2-page thing.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I didn't even see. I was trying to look for it, but I didn't see anything.
Let me go into my email here. But I'll give you a minute to pull it all up while we're talking. But
no, but yeah, Kota Ibushi essentially, you know, just went on a Twitter thing, I think about 2 weeks ago, and you know, just basically said, you know, hey, the cheaters, goons, sexual harassing bosses, like he's just throwing, you know, a lot of people under the bus. Kikuchi, you know, as Ryan was stating. You know, I was just trying to, you know, kind of get Kota Ibushi in from the injury to the G1 climax. You know, just kind of basically not letting him rehab the injury. As we all know, Ibushi can go overkill during some matches at times. So it was important for him to heal up. And with the rumor of him probably winning the third one, you know, in a row, because it seems like that's what they always do. I'm sure they put a little you know, wrench in the plans there. But, yeah, I mean, rumors of, you know, Yakuza ties and, you know, just kind of just breaking down that, you know, the patriarchy of New Japan and just saying, you know, it's just a horrible company, this and that. And then he'll, like, retract his statements and then he'll go back to hate. We all know Kota Ibushi is an interesting fella. You know, what does he live by? Like the 25-8 rule or something? Like he sleeps like 1 hour later each night or something along those lines, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. But Kenny Omega tweeting just recently, you know, fire resurrection will burn bright again someday. Let's hang on until then, everybody. So, you know, of course, him kind of, you know, little cryptic, if you will, to his golden lover stablemates. But pretty interesting. So, I mean, you know, like you were saying, you know, with that the Ibushi New Japan situation, they're not really thinking about letting him go yet. You know, it's kind of been calm, you know, the last couple of, you know, days. It seems like comparable to a week and a half. Ibushi did state, you know, that he will fight until the end and he will not surrender to them, you know, which that's the working mm-hmm. man philosophy. It's always a good thing. So, and then, of course, on Monday night, the one time I'm like, you know what? I forgot about Monday Night Raw. And then I go to the dirt sheets right when I go to bed at like 11:30, and I'm like, what happened now? Like, I didn't even go on the dirt at all. And I usually do. And for some reason, I did not until that time, and it blew my flipping mind. Sasha Banks and Naomi, the former Funkadactyl herself, basically it didn't, you know, work for her brother. It didn't work for Sasha Banks. Apparently, Naomi's former tag mate saying that she possibly was brainwashed by Sasha Banks for her to walk out and whatnot, as they both did, left the titles on the desks and said, you know, hey, we're not going to have Naomi win the six-pack challenge that was already, you know, advertised. But, hey, card subject to change, am I right? But then, you know, Sasha Banks, you know, the whole plan, Ryan, as we all know, Naomi was supposed to win, challenge Bianca Belair, I believe, and then Ronda Rousey was going to face Sasha Banks. But the tag team champions, the women tag champs, were going to lose both matches at the upcoming, what was it, Hell in a Cell?
Yep. They were gonna wrestle Rousey and Becky Belair and then job out. It was going to be, like, apparently, Nikki Ash and Doudrop not till Money in the Bank they would defend the titles.
Oh, man. Which, you know, that's not a bad team, but I get, you know, on the hierarchy of TV exposure, it's considered bad. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, of course, that's been, you know, kind of the big talk And as you stated, you have, you know, kind of a statement from my Naomi. So go ahead. Good.
So I got a statement and then I got a tip that I got. I couldn't even find the one because it's wherever, or the link that I got was already deleted. So I either this is something WWE said you need to remove this or else, or she chose to remove it. Is very interesting, but I was able to recover it on my cell phone from what I read it earlier. Just some bullet points that I got making some reach outs. Obviously, this is not a work, not part of any storyline for anybody who thinks it is. I think, if anything, the storyline is the Bryan Danielson thing, but not this, and I don't think that's a storyline, but that is a better
chance.
That was
the craziest botch ever.
Yeah, that was like Randy Orton. Remember when he fell from the table?
Yep.
And he's like, no. Naomi was not going to pin Sasha in the match as well. She was obviously going to win to face Bianca at Hell in a Cell, but that means Sasha would have been eliminated before the end. The report of them not wanting to work with two of the women is completely false. The issue was creative for the two of them and the tag titles to wrestle those two women. So everybody put it on as they had issues wrestling Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. They wanted to wrestle them. Vince got pissed and was feeding lines to commentary. That, going off of what I'm going to read you, is false, apparently. And
okay.
This is where it gets interesting. Last two things were both are very upset about the direction that we're going with the tag titles and had been pitching stories for them. There were no plans with the titles following Hell in a Cell. And then those backstage do not expect Sasha and Naomi to be released, but nothing is certain. So let me read from you. This is from somebody who is followed on Twitter by Naomi. So they know each other because, you know, they don't follow.
Oh,
don't know.
I did. Okay. Yep.
So you did
see
this.
Seen this. Yep.
So,
yeah.
So this was Naomi's side of the story on all this. She said, "Your approach in February is being put in a tag team after both being promised big feuds at WrestleMania. You bite the bullet and put everything you got into being a tag team. It works. You get over with the titles at WrestleMania and become merch pushers. 5 weeks into your reign, you show up to live TV ready to work. You are told you will be in the main event, and you are happy. You both are then told that one of you will be going over pitting the other. You have questions why that decision was made and how it helps y'all. Excuse me. You request a meeting with your boss to discuss it. Your boss takes the meeting and everything is actually going well, boss being Vince McMahon. He understands your concerns. That's a good thing. The meeting ends well and the match is told to be reconstructed. For some reason, producers get mad about it. So here's the producer aspect. You then ask with one of your members going over what happens to your titles. You are told basically that you will just be carrying belts. They want you to use both to help both women's champions get more over. So essentially, they want you to be nothing more than getting over the champions with your championships. Neither one of you will win the solo titles, and you won't defend your titles until Money in the Bank, which is now 3 months from when they won them. You ask for another meeting with your boss, but this time you are being called spoiled. A producer walks away screaming. I'm guessing that's Laurinaitis. He comes back and tells both of you to fix your attitudes. Y'all have a brief meeting amongst yourselves and decide to stand up for yourselves. You go to another boss and make it clear you just have concerns. You ask, why are we even in the match, and why aren't other women in it? You ask why your titles have no stories for 2 months. Again, you're met with fix your attitudes. So after one final meeting with yourself and asking others, you make the ultimate decision as a team. It's sad how one side is trying to create a fucked up narrative. Also, it was asked why Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop in the match instead of starting their program tonight. Naomi nor Sasha talked down about being in the ring with either one. I don't know how that got flipped. So my guess is since they were in the match, that's how they would go to setting up the tag match, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Sounds like they were like, no, why don't you put some other women in? There's plenty of people. I know she's part of the Judgment Day or whatever. But put Dana Brooke in there. Put Dana Brooke and Tamina, who have a storyline going with Tozawa and Reggie in the 24/7 title. Go ahead and put those two in it because it doesn't mean shit. You could beat them clean as a bed sheet. No one gives a damn.
And then you could do some 24/7 hijinks. you know.
There you go. And if you want to set up Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop as tag competitors, put in Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan and have them just brawl to the back and double count out. Nobody gets hurt, and you expand their feud. I just booked a better storyline than they did. Wow, that was hard.
And I thought it was bullshit when they said that they thought that Nikki A.S.H. and, you know, Viper, Piper, Nevin were dangerous. Those are some of the most,
exactly,
especially Nevin, or what I don't even want to call her WWE biblical name.
Viper. We'll just call her Viper.
She's one of the, you know, most respected women's wrestlers in the last decade.
Yeah, this chick's a,
because she got her chops in Japan. Like,
yeah,
come on.
I mean, she's
Sasha Banks
Stardom. You kidding me? Stardom ain't gonna bring somebody in if you don't get, if people don't respect you. Come on.
You're out. And she was there for a minimal time, and she already developed a following. Still gets that love over there. So, yeah, it's just, it's filed the, you know, all the he said, she said. I mean, what did you think when WWE put him on blast? Like, I mean, I get it. You got to walk. They walked out. It kind of set up some stuff. But, like, for them not even to see the disrespect that was displayed by a, you know, allegedly John Laurinaitis, or, you know, just some bullshit with some other producers. But for them to say it online and call them unprofessional and burying them, how do you come back from that if you're not
you
even Sasha
you
Banks?
Don't.
Who, by the way, are two of your most over workers in the last 5 years and people that have been over, and they still bury Naomi for all that time. You know, we'll give you two title wins at the Manias, you know, but after that, you ain't going to do shit. And it's horrible because she was a merch pusher, as well as Sasha Banks is being a respected sports entertainer / wrestler.
They talk about how Roman Reigns is the needle mover. This is something I do know, because this part I looked into, not the Cody shit, but the most watched segments on SmackDown in 2022 are Sasha Banks every week. She's the needle mover on that show, not Roman. Now,
really?
I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound bad, and I don't mean it to be bad, but it has to be said, and look, we got, you know, as biased as we have to be, sometimes it sucks to say this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha Banks does drive me crazy with how entitled she acts. She knows she's good. She knows she's untouchable, and she does this all the time. If she didn't have the, you know, the Snoop background, I think, and, you know, the some of the stuff she got, you know, with NXT, with how good she was there, I don't think she could get away with some of the stuff. My issue, when I say this, because my issue is, you didn't have to renew your contract with this company. She knew. If she didn't know what she was getting into, re-signing with the E a year ago or whatever it was, then she's delusional, because she's seen firsthand since she's got there what this company does with things. So that's my only complaint. And I say that as a lot of these people who, you know, when they had a problem, they left. They said, I'm not resigning. I'm going somewhere. Yeah. If you have that much of an issue with this company so much, then just leave. Cody proved
you
can make money.
If she did leave, she would get that Cody Rhodes WWE money, but AEW, would she break that $2 million plus contract?
I don't think she would break that, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility with her, with being able to reap all of your Instagram money that she would get. If she started streaming, because she's a game head anyway, from what she says, she'd make a killing on there. I don't know why she doesn't. And look at Killer Cross and Scarlett Bordeaux. They said they're making main roster money on the indies since they've been fired. Look at Matt Cardona. He's making more money now than he did there. She is over enough that she could make as much probably or more without that company. Ooh. But she knows the avenues and outlets she gets with it. Look, her and Bianca Belair main event in WrestleMania, they won an ESPY, and they were on the ESPYs. So you may not get that elsewhere. So she gets that. But she flat out said, I love money. Like, she said that. That's why she went back to the company. The only reason it bothers me is you can't have your cake and eat it too. You hate the creative direction for years and years, where you're there for 3 months and you leave for two. You know what this company's going to give you, so just deal with it. And if you don't want to deal with it, then leave. Look at Kevin Owens. Look at Shinsuke Nakamura. Look at Sami Zayn. Whether they're unhappy about angles or not, they chose to resign and they keep their mouth shut because they made the decision to stay. She had the opportunity to leave. Now, I heard Naomi, her contract is coming up very soon, and that's why she was cool leaving, because she wasn't planning on resigning.
Oh, okay.
Now, that hasn't been leaked anywhere else. But
I agree, because she's been one of the most disrespected wrestlers, male or female, within this era of wrestling. Again, just, I mean, talk about needle movers. She had that crowd in the palm of her hand. She was selling merch. She was getting everyone hyped. I still remember that first Saudi Arabia show. Kids were getting hyped, and I was like, hell yeah. It's because, you know, Naomi's tight.
Now, let me ask you this real quick. Before we go off of that, do you think the issue with Naomi, why she doesn't get as much as she does, and I've never looked at stats, so, you know, maybe statistically this is true, maybe it's not, but do you think she's Roman Reigns over? And when I say Roman Reigns over, his reactions that he gets with that new music and the methodical entrance and persona, he gets, I mean, he gets, you know, he's almost on like Austin level at times. Maybe not a Roman Warrior.
I would say
pop.
4 years ago she was. She was getting some loud pops. She was getting people hyped. I mean, there were people wearing her merch in the audience.
So that's where I'm going with this is, while they may be over in a building, they're not moving the needle. They're not drawing ratings.
Correct.
So people. So I'm just wondering if maybe because her entrance is so good, it just seems like she's that much more over. But when they crack the books, they go, man, people don't tune in. If anything, they tune out when she's on. And I'm on your boat. I think she's great.
The viewers
I think she
are
does a wonderful job.
Yeah, I mean, she improved. I mean, again, from a Funkadactyl until now, I mean, she's, I think, one of their better, you know, quote-unquote sports entertainers. I think she's fun to watch. Again, her in-ring work is great. She's got the charisma. Yes, I would like to see her join the Bloodline. Like, that's always been the rumor. Break the fourth wall. We already know, you know, her and the Uso, whichever one that is. I don't know if it's DUI or not. But, you
it's
know,
John,
just all that
whichever
stuff.
John is.
John. Oh, God. We're a Total Divas watcher. I mean.
Shit.
I was like, that's not their, you know, kayfabe name. What's going on? But, I think it'll be interesting what she can do on the Indies and kind of broaden her horizon outside of that WWE landscape. She's known for, what, 7-8 years? You know, so I think that's the exciting part. You know, like you said, she wasn't planning on resigning, allegedly. So, I mean, I think, again, she's not going to make crazy money on AEW, but if she runs the Indies for a while, people would like that shit because they know they're going to get a good 10 minutes out there, 10, 15 minutes out there.
So it's Meltzer said it's unknown exactly when Naomi's deal is up, but it's expected to be soon. She has been negotiating with the company about extending that as of late. There's a possibility that that had something to do with her and Sasha walking out this week.
Yeah. I mean, you can't fire part of your main faction's wife. Maybe you can. Nick Khan's taking over. He doesn't give a shit.
Here's the thing I'll say about her that I respect is she understands that I'm getting a main event shot against Bianca Belair at Hell in a Cell. Okay, cool. That's just for a prop. She understands creative. She understands character. She believes in building story. She's not, yay, I get to wrestle the champion, which doesn't mean shit half the time. There's no story behind it. So I do respect that aspect of this doesn't make sense. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
You know, I would rather be in a match for us. I would rather build us as a tag team than get a world title shot. That shows she doesn't care about the prop. You know, I get to be the world challenger. No, I want to build our tag team because that's what we've committed to. So I respect that whole accolade of her. She's not a mark. Some of these people are like, oh, man, not going to work for me, brother. I got to be the champion. It doesn't matter. You're getting paid the same. It's not about, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't, you know, this isn't the 80s when if you worked on top, you got a bigger payday. People have guaranteed deals now. And it's why I always respected Mustafa Ali. He didn't care about titles and shit. He wanted to work an angle. And he stood his ground. And now look, they brought him back and he's working with Austin Theory in the U.S. title. They realized they had
to.
Well,
that's
the
thing. I'm down for that.
They said, all right, what do we need to do to bring you back? He goes, I want to work with Austin Theory. You guys are pushing a young guy, and I want to help him succeed. And they're fine. You're done. And it's like, hey, they stood their ground, and I bet you other people saw that. You know? I know a lot of people in the locker room apparently aren't too happy with it, but you know what? Who cares?
No,
if you're already leaving anyway, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Now, I will say I don't agree with, after a show has started, walking out. That's what bothers me. You're being paid to do a job, so do the job.
Yeah.
Talk about it later. Don't go into the building and then they announce it to show a graphic to open the show, and then you're like, second thought, no. Like, that's not cool. Because now you left everybody, you left your peers out high and dry. You know, now Nikki Ash and Doudrop didn't get to work that show. That's not fair to them.
Yeah, they're just messing with all their money.
You know, so that part bothered. So it's a weird flip of the coin situation.
Yeah, I mean, I respect the, you know, again, just saying, hey, this doesn't make sense. The walkout, I mean, I think you got to do what you got to do. What you said on Sasha, you know, I agree to an extent, but I mean, I see ego being involved, but I also see, you know, why I'm, you know, I should be grander. But she has the better matches, but she can have some not so good matches, you know, or a little in between, you know, a sprinkle of not so good at times. But I mean, it's always a you know, a pleasure to watch her and see her grow from her NXT days. So, I mean, again, the ego's there. I get it. But, I mean, man, you put her across where she can work stardom, you know, or she can
work
somewhere else. I think, you know, her teaching that younger generation and them wanting to work with Nevin and Ash and Ripley, like there's so much that they can do, and they're just reverting away from, you know, essentially the woman's revolution, you know, that transpired. What, 8 years ago by now?
Something like that,
6 years ago. And you know, we can all think after, what was it, you know, give divas a chance when that hashtag was breaking through. And lo and behold, someone again, as we stated at the top of the show, Stephanie McMahon taking a step down as she tweeted or Instagrammed, as of tomorrow, I am taking a leave of absence from the majority of my responsibilities at WWE. WWE is a lifelong legacy for me, and I look forward to returning to the company that I love after taking this time to focus on my family. Of course, her husband, Paul Levesque, a.k.a. The Game, a.k.a. The Cerebral Assassin, a.k.a. The Greenwich Snob, Triple H, you know, had that, you know, very crazy, extensive, you know, cardiac arrest and scare and surgeries and all that. And then everything of his wrestling empire was stripped away down in Orlando. And, you know, of course, watching him getting neutered all over. Of course, you know, he's fine. He's doing other stuff. And, you know, he's just, you know, officially retiring about a month or so ago. So good thing, bad thing. But, again, it's just crazy how Sasha, you know, focal point of that, you know, revolution there. And being, you know, one of the pillars of there of that, just, and then Stephanie leaving, it just seems like is the women's division now gonna take, you know, another back seat? I don't know about Diva days, but I mean, Jesus, with so much talent just wasted, what's going on there? What do you see with this correlation?
I think we've already kind of returned to the Diva days. Have you seen NXT?
No. Wasn't one of your Joshi wrestlers you were excited for? Now she's like a sleeping e-girl or something?
No, she's a, like, Chew? Like school
Windy
girl.
Chew?
No, the Saray, as they call her. I think. She's like a schoolgirl now who gets her powers to become a fighter by a mythical necklace given from her grandmother.
What? Through a magic backpack?
And yeah, she's like Dora. And then Tiffany Stratton stole her, stole it, and then she like couldn't transform, and then Tiffany Stratton beat her because she wasn't able to be as tough as she used to be. So now they're teasing her getting it back from Tiffany Stratton, and then yeah. And then they just have Mandy Rose and Toxic Attraction show you their buttholes the whole time.
Whoa. Talk about a premium live event.
Get it. I wanted to scream it instead of playing it. Yeah, that's all it's become now.
I want to know how we can get our hands on these SBK shirts.
He's so tight, man.
God, Io's tight. He's shaved. He looks like a boss. His hair is just slightly tilted to the left. I was not a fan of the name, but this faction is badass.
Zebras, yeah. There was going around, too, that a lot of the talent, not just MJF, are apparently really unhappy in AEW.
Well, yeah, you're getting your legs cut stage in the ring for 10 minutes, and some people videotape it. What is going on with Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson? Who is more afraid that they sign there, him or CM Punk? I don't know. Maybe Rudy.
I think it was just an accident. I think it was just a fluke.
10 minutes.
I wouldn't even look into it. If anything, I'd be more annoyed that I look like an ass.
Again, I went on the internet really late before bed, and I was like, wait, what? I was like, what am I missing? I was like, oh, it was on rant. And it was funny because I saw before I was getting stuff done, like, I was like, oh, Danielson and Moxley are on Rampage? That's interesting. Okay. And then, like, an hour and a half later, that's the headline I see. Danielson may be injured from falling in between stage and ring. I'm like, what? It's the most bonkers-ass headline I've ever read.
I think if anything, he just hurt his balls.
Oh, man.
I'm
sure
glad it didn't happen to me. Holy shit. I would have been done like Ahmed Johnson after he joined the Nation. When he was Big T in Harlem Heat. So, according to same source, unknown source, you know, I had somebody, I can't remember where it was, but they said, hey, how come when you guys talk about things, you say unnamed source? And it's like, well, because you give away your source, they don't give you any more information, you dumbass. Haven't you ever heard of journalism? The best example I heard was, has Adrian Wojnarowski ever been like, according to Mike Brown, he's going to get a job and fire everybody. Like, no. It doesn't work that way. That MJF
also, guy
is
who
one
said
of
that
the...
to Ryan, or listener, he doesn't even tell me his sources. He just says the same thing, and I'm not going to lie. I, like, clench my fist. I'm like, tell me. Tell me already.
You can.
I know you told me
one,
but I was like, I think there are multiples. And I'm like,
I have two, and I'm sure you can guess the other one.
Yeah.
Just because of things I do at the end of the year and stuff.
Oh,
but, I don't need to say it to you. You can figure it out. The rest of these schleps can just enjoy the news. And then I can sit there and cry that I don't have that same access that I wish I could that they do.
Whoa, I didn't know their name was The Courage.
Oh, De Courage? Yeah, that's...
De Courage?
Yeah, De Courage. What match are you on?
Io and Dragon Daya.
Awesome!
They are going... Bad.
I
love
I'm glad I didn't.
Io Watanabe because he looks like, hey, a little, you know, not chubby in a bad way, but, you know, he's not like a SB Kendo. I mean, we all wish we were, but let's be real. But, you know, just looks like, but then, like, he can move so crazy fast at times and then display strength. You're just like, holy shit, this guy's great. And he's like 5'4".
Yeah, there was something I was going to say about Hio that I didn't. And now knowing it, I'm glad I didn't say it. I'll make sure to remember when we get into the shows. But a source from the AEW locker room tells us that MJF is hardly the only talent feeling some level of disconnect, describing the backstage atmosphere as chaotic with a lack of structure, with common complaints ranging from not knowing angles or finishes until close to showtime, and things like redundant finishes and angles to set up matches is becoming very frustrating. Apparently, the backstage has been chaotic as of late.
When you're Tony Khan and you're running 19 things and there's only so much stuff in the air.
Chelsea football, fucking Jaguars.
The Flyers, remember he was in the war room?
Yeah.
The CK. We're going to give you the best show in all the world. I mean, he does deliver, though. I mean, that's the thing. He delivers on the big shows. Even the Ring of Honor show was awesome.
Yeah, it was. Now, I will say, I originally thought that this whole MJF being disgruntled, and I haven't said this to you before, but my opinion was they were going to recreate the ROH Summer of Punk. He is signed with the WWE, and he is leaving on this day, and then he wins the world title before that happens. And now he's like, well, it looks like I'm taking the belt with me, and nobody knows what's going to happen. And I could see TK being that indie mark trying to recreate something like that. Now I'm wondering if either A, they're really trying to work us and work us good, because the angle
talk
of
about
the year for me.
Storytelling.
Exactly. Because for me, the angle of the year happened at Wrestling Dontaku, this would be the same type of angle. So I don't know how to take it. We didn't talk about Dontaku, but yeah, I think my angle of the year, and maybe since the Mark Henry, John Cena thing, was the best angle in wrestling. You know what I'm talking about?
No, do tell.
What was the big thing that drove us nuts at the last, aside from the shitty production?
Evil?
At the last Big Japan.
Oh, City?
Yeah. Was how long that TMDK match was. And we all said why it was so long, because they were giving him his farewell, his kudos.
Yep.
When he showed up in Bullet Club, I went, holy shit, I got worked. And then I thought about it, and I was like, when is the last time I can say that I've been worked? And I went, probably Mark Henry, John Cena.
Wow.
And I said, this
you
is the best.
You really put it into that territory, huh?
Who knew? So, like, I dug in on this. And apparently at Windy City Riot, Tony Storm was there, and all of Juice Robinson's family were there, too, to, like, see his last match. Like, his wife apparently flew in to see his last match. Because she said, I don't want to miss this live. So he was working her. And here's the thing, too.
That's awesome. To
take off the helmet and I saw the body, I sat here watching Dontaku and I smirked and I went, that's that son of a bitch, Juice Robinson, and he just played everybody. and I knew it was him, and then he took it off and it was him, and I went, oh my god, I was like, that's the best shit I've seen in 10 years probably. They got everybody. Nobody knew it. Every radio, every podcast I listened to was like, well, who cares about Juice Robinson, he's gonna be gone. I don't know, is he going back to hip toss class? What is gonna happen to David Finley in the midst of all this? Now everybody got work.
I'm not going to lie. I thought the same thing. about
you know,
that's
or does Finley go to NXT because of his dad? Like, what happens with these guys?
Cool.
Because he's not gonna have a spot in New Japan now without his tag. And then here he is with Chase Owens, and he's in the Bullet Club, and now he's main eventing the DC show. Which I still haven't seen the Okada match in the four way. So if you watch those, don't spoil them for me. Maybe that's what I should watch tonight before I watch night three of the Super Juniors. Because I'm going to get spoiled somehow.
Yeah.
But I'm like, dude, this
How's
is the best.
Francisco Akira looking so far?
He was fine. It's just he weren't showing the first match. So you know what half of the match
How
was
good.
They're,
the same
they're outside fucking fighting outside the down the rampway, and he's getting a ref to run around the building so he can use a chair. It was 10 minutes of walking around shenanigans from show. And so, I mean, that part was annoying as shit. But
a shame.
It was okay.
Wait, by the way, did you say Juice Robinson and Toni Storm are married? I know they were dating, but yeesh. Bless that man's heart.
it blows my mind that he literally worked us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I said it's the best angle in years. Because aside from Henry Cena, I can't tell you the last time I've been worked. Like, where I can go, holy shit, they got me. Juice Robinson got me, man.
Hey, up and at him. That's
brilliant.
Cool.
Yeah, like I said, I've been slowly working on my mid-year awards because June 1st is coming up in 2 weeks. So we're already at mid-year awards. Maybe we'll get them out in the mid-year instead of in September. That's why I was like, fuck it, I'm starting now. I'm giving myself 2 weeks to work on these things. But I'm like, oh my God, what an angle. Like, even though, and it wasn't anything special, it was just, but this guy wants to fight you. Smokes him in the face. Juice Robinson, like, amazing angle.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out. I remember seeing it. I think I was spoiled, like, on the routine of Facebook scroll at like 7 a.m. And I was like, wait, what? At first it didn't operate. I'm like, I was like, I thought he retired. And then I was like, like it didn't hit me until like I scrolled like later on in the day. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then I was like, what about David Finlay? So I'm like, everything you said, I legit had those exact same thoughts. So it was pretty interesting to kind of hear that. I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one that was like, they did work me, but without saying, they worked the shit out of me. So, well done.
It's literally what it was.
The product of Joliet, Illinois. So, bless your heart.
Yeah, it's just, I was like, that's fantastic. I was just in love with it. So that was what I thought MJF maybe was kind of, you know, getting it back to where I had taken us was the angle, but... I mean, who knows, I guess, at this point.
Do you think he could flourish? Do you think they'll allow him to be the same MJF? And what did they change his name to if they did do the WWE name game change?
Here's the thing is, I say this with a literal grain of the earth salt, if you get where I'm going, as he calls himself. I could see Cody going, look, I can get you this guy because this dude's like my guy.
Yep.
You got to give him the same treatment that I got. There's no changing him. If you're going to sign him, you're signing him for what he is. You're not going
to
sign him and
change his name. Theme too?
What's that?
I said the Downstain do the MJF theme too, so you can do the same one.
He's had this theme since before AEW.
Oh, shit. Well.
Like, if you remember when he wrestled Matt Cross, he came out to this when we were there.
That's true. Yep.
I think he's had this since MLW.
MLW. Yeah. Sorry, continue with the MJF to WWE luring by Cody Rhodes.
But, yeah, that's the only thing is I could just see him going, look, you want the guy, but if he comes, you can't change him because it's not going to – you won't get what you're paying for. And I don't think he'll enjoy it, and he'll probably tell you to go screw yourselves. You know? Yeah. So that's the only thing I could see, is he has the right guy who's proving that the formula to sign somebody and not change him works. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they waste all their time signing these talents. This is what I say to you all the time, you know, when we talk. If I'm signing Ricochet, I'm going to showcase Ricochet. You know, I'm not going to showcase – well, I guess Ricochet is a bad example. If I am going to go out of my way to sign Walter, I'm going to give you Walter. I'm not going to call him Gunther and reformat him and give him different colors and things like that. I'm just going to go, here's why I signed you. Go ahead. You know, could you imagine if they would have bought WCW and ECW now? Like, what would Booker T have become? You know what I mean? Like, what would some of these guys, what would they have done with Rob Van Dam?
Oh, I mean, he just would have been Matt Riddle's tag partner.
But I mean, like, what would they have named some of these people? Like, look at what they, Kaylee Ray is what, like, Orchid Flame or Fire or something? Like, I can't even remember what they call her now. Like, that's my point. You signed this person to be this person. Like, you signed Io Shirai to be Io Shirai, so you left her as Io Shirai. Now, mind you, you kind of changed your gimmick up a little bit, but that's fine. It still was Io Shirai.
Yes.
You know, stop changing while you sign these people. Like, that's what I don't understand.
Yeah, it's weirdly in their DNA to just alter what fans like, and just because it's not their creation, they're going to try to any which way, even if it's a little more so, but owning someone's name is just as important. So, but hey,
what if when they signed AJ Styles, he would have changed his name to the arrogant Alan Jones.
I mean, Alan Jones sounds so 80s, but...
The astonishing Alan Paris. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
What if they had to be
Shinsuke
Nakamura?
I mean, but
Nakamura?
Some of them make sense. Ciampa's cool. I like how it's just Ciampa. People call him that anyway.
Why do they think people are too stupid to... like what
the
if they had, like they signed Hideki Suzuki, and they started calling him Hachiman. The hell does that mean?
Man, I did not know that, but he looked tight in that tracksuit before they let him go, but he's happy.
Yeah, right. Now he's getting his D sucked by Nosawa Rongai, and oh my God, we haven't talked about
Stinger.
That on here, have we?
What, Stinger the disbanding?
So, Nosawa Rongai was the heads of Cyber Agent went to Sanshiro Takagi and said, hey, how come this guy who's booking this show isn't working with you, and he's having us pay and bring in all of these outside talents from Mexico and other companies, and we're having to spend all this extra money because we need to pay them like they're main eventers, even though they're not main eventing shows.
Oh,
and
wow.
They looked into it, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. One thing led to another. His contract apparently was coming up, and they didn't renew it. And that's why he's in Dragon Gate now. They told him to walk. They said, you're not going to pull that one over on us. And they said, Takagi-san, you need to figure out a new booker for this company, and we need to start seeing things go together. We see Kano show up to challenge Endo, which is cool.
Yep.
Or Daisuke Sasaki, excuse me.
Sasaki,
which
yep.
is cool. So, do you know who Sanshiro Takagi appointed the booker? Did we already talk about this?
No, I don't believe we did.
A guy who's even... has his head more up Muda's ass than Nosawa Rongai. My despised person, Kendo Kashin, is now the head booker of Noah.
Oh, my God. I know he's been making, you know, appearances there, but I didn't realize to give him that power. Why, Ryan?
So,
why?
Takagi
should we
took
be
a guy... Kidding? Yes, we should be terrified. Because Takagi took a guy who is even more in with Muda and Masakatsu Funaki and Ironhead Fujita and all those older guys that Nosawa was pushing, he's even more in their clique. And he's not going to push them because, like, how Nosal Rung guy just respected him and thought that his career would be nothing without Muda, so he felt like he had to repay the favor. Kendo Kash and his boys with these guys. They go drinking together every day after the shows and shit. Like, this might be worse.
Oh, boy. This is another Dark Ages on that side of the Puroscape, huh?
So I don't know what's going to happen. They got the Cyberfest, and it's – oh, yeah, because then, and I say this as a positive because the dude can still work on, like, Muda and Ironhead, where Ironhead has to break your eardrum and beat the shit out of you to have a good match because he can't move. This guy can still fucking work. So I like that, but it was so ironic. Did you watch Max Bump 2020 that had the Kiyo Miyashiozaki main event to crown the new champion?
I did not.
So
because I kind of knew the results already, and I kind of choreographed the match before,
so,
and I felt I didn't have.
Let me look and see. Or Majestic, excuse me, was not. Or Max Bump was DDT. So to be fair, I went 4.5. Shiozaki via Lariat beat Kaito Kiyomiya. I had 3 matches actually make 4-star on this. Shiozaki.
I mean, it was a good card. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was like, I'd watch that. I'd skip, watch.
One thing that pissed me off was I went 4.25 on the tag title with Sugiura and Suzuki beat Kanoa and Nakajima. Suzuki via Butterfly Suplex to pin Nakajima. This is after... Now, before Suzuki left Noah the first time, at a Korakuen, he was supposed to put over Nakajima, and he goes, nah, brother, it's not going to work for me. I'll get him next time. So they had their one-on-one at Korakuen a couple weeks before the show, his big return, they win the titles. Hey, Nakajima's going to beat you to build more heat to the championship. Nah, brother, not going to work for me. I'll get him over next time. Let's go to a deep, let's have it end in a draw again. Goes to another draw, and then Suzuki, who does he pin? Nakajima in the tag match. Like, are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Remember
he was a wrestler of the year?
Yeah. What else? Fumeiro Fuji and his and partner X, who we'll talk about in a minute, defeated Kenny Okada and Yoshiki Inamura. 3.75, I went on that. And then the Daisuke Harada at Tsushi Kotoge, Yohei and Juta Miyawaki took on Dragon Bane, Alpha Wolf, Extreme Tiger, and Ninja Mac. I went 4.25 on that. Ninja Mac stole the show. He looked incredible in his Noah debut. So that was, and by the way, Rene Dupree and Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. defeated Masato Tanaka and Daiki Inaba. I went 3.25. Dupree is awesome in Noah. I don't know where it was before, but he is awesome in Noah. And then we got Slex the Business in the opener, which was tight.
I mean, it's such a crazy tag team that it totally works, especially for Noah there. And I'm sure he's a stiff worker. Am I right?
He was just a good worker. Like, in my head, I'm going, you know, if you guys went to fight him when he was 23 after bringing him up when he was 18 on TV and let him grow, maybe you could have done more with him. Just saying, because he looked a lot better now that he's had years of experience.
Awesome.
It's weird how that works, guys. It's really weird how
that
works. But anyway, when I say X, he's who came out to challenge Go Shiozaki for Cyber Festival, and it's really ironic because this guy happened to work in All Japan and New Japan with Muda and the company, and he's won 2 titles, and he could be the 4th person to ever be the Triple Crown champion if he defeats Go Shiozaki. Satoshi Kojima suddenly shows up.
Okay. Wow.
Really? And I think cool, because he can still go, but I'm going, holy shit, Shiozaki just showed up. He's gonna win the title. He's gonna beat Shiozaki at the show.
I think so.
It's definitive to me almost. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me, man.
Oh, you don't think that's a good plan though? I mean, That'll be kind of fresh. It'll be kind of nice, but I guess she's
why do you keep
winning it
making
back.
All these?
It's too soon. I mean, I totally understand, but
now my thought was it would have been Ironhead dropping it to Kojima, and you would have had the two old guys fight.
Oh,
but
my
like,
God. I mean, that would have been – I would have liked to see Kojima beat Ironhead for sure, but COVID and lack of drawing did that to him instead.
And like I said, I'm not mad because I do really like I do really like Satoshi Kojima, so I'm not mad about the Kojima thing. But it's just like, man, it was like – a week after he got fired, and there's already another Muda guy coming in.
Well, yeah, and guess who's coming back pretty soon here? Muda. Muda.
I'm just like, man, like, who's going to have the balls to step up and just go, all right, that's enough. Like, if I was Shiro Takagi, I would have walked in that locker room and said, this shit is over. You guys aren't running things here anymore. You don't. If anyone has a problem with it, there's the front door because we're funding you. And you're not drawing houses. You know, they did back-to-back at Budokan Hall. And this show drew 3,000 fans. And they ran an all-junior show that Nostal wanted to do where he brought in a bunch of his Lucha friends. They did 1,300 in fucking Budokan. That's like an 8-10K venue.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I was as surprised that he won the title as I think anyone was. I mean, I'm sure you were irritated when you saw Ironhead hold up.
Oh,
the,
I was watching it live. I was like, I can't believe this is about to happen. They're like, oh, he just punched Nakajima in the ear as hard as he can. And Nakajima is clutching. Great. He just broke his fucking eardrum. Like, get this guy out of the ring. And now here's the other kicker with the Nostal Rome guy thing, is apparently guys like Kano and Nakajima and some of these young guys are getting fed up with it and are like, they're professionals and that's how they're going out there and doing their job. But I've heard rumblings that if you know, with the near future, if that contract goes up, I've heard they're love peace chicken grease.
Wow.
If things don't start changing.
I mean, that's a pretty big threat that I wouldn't want to see carried out if I was Noah, right? Or Cyber Agent.
Oh, look, if Kongo left Noah, that's half of why I still at least give Noah my time.
Yeah, two of the best wrestlers in the world, just right in the same stable. And then, oh, yeah, you had, you know, yeah, it's. But, I mean, do they fit in a Dragon Gate? I mean, that's a big faction. It's a huge faction. That would be, like, two factions in Dragon Gate.
I would think, if anything, New Japan would try to swoop them. Imagine putting Nakajima
They've had that exposure.
Mm-hmm. And if you were to put Nakajima and Kano in separate blocks, could you imagine what they could do in a G1? I mean, Nakajima's already been in one.
Yeah, true.
So I mean, there's a lot that could be done with those. I'm like, you guys are killing me here.
The old heads, man, they still think they got it and they're drawing, but I mean, they got to realize and adapt. But I mean, when also they're the bookers, it's good. Never a good mix, but
yeah, you're not. Like, and that's what blows my mind with the whole making Kendo Kash in the booker is like. You're literally taking the same problem that you just had and making it worse now, and you don't even realize it.
No, he doesn't care. He's making his money. He's being relevant again. And yeah, it's so weird. Like you said, the Muda guy. It's like, Muda, why do you have your lackey run a promotion into the ground? Like, what is Cyber Agent either paying them, or is it just more licensing from them being under that umbrella that, you know, they just, you know, a pseudo Bushiroad where they're like, we don't care. You know, we make way more money, so
Cyber Agent told Takagi, "You got to fix this. You got to figure this out." What blows our mind is how Takagi is that cognizant of what's happening in that locker room.
Yeah,
Like, if you're Takagi, why?
Maybe it's
why
a little too much to bear to, you know, cover all that ground.
But if you're Takagi, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
Like, that's my issue. Like, what are you scared of in this locker room? Like, what do they have on you that you're refusing to take them out?
I mean, nothing. He's already wrestled his wife in the ring, so, I mean, over some like, shit.
And that's what, it's just, I'm like, come on. Get this guy out of there. It's just going to get worse.
You know what I realized? I could have been watching a lot of, speaking of a Wrestle Universe, because I realized I have their app on the iPhone. I was like, what?
Oh,
so I could have been watching wrestling during, like, my lunch break, like, a little bit at a time. I was like, damn it. I missed Nakajima. I'm even excited to see Go Shiozaki's chest get beat bloody red in, like, the first 5 minutes of each match.
Well, Shiozaki just murders people. He's just beating the piss out of these guys.
Hard because he's so pale and his hair is so blonde. Like, his chest just looks like just blood capsules are just exploding everywhere. It's just so painful. It's always on the watch, though.
Like,
Are we over that whole thing? Like, should we move on?
No, you give me Go Shiozaki versus Katsuhiko Nakajima 5 days a week. I will never bore of them too. Watching the kicks and chops back and forth is just beautiful.
Beautiful. Like,
stiff yourselves more and more for me. There's a lot of shit going on in wrestling right now with some of this stuff.
Outside of the ring, that's the
mm-hmm.
We haven't even got the build up to, you know, Hangman Page and CM Punk at Double or Nothing. Next weekend, Labor Day weekend, Sunday the 29th, 30th? I don't know, but after that, though, a big AEW show, Ryan, is happening as the long rumored that we heard before the news break from your unnamed source. Forbidden Door, New Japan, Pro Wrestling, All Elite Wrestling teaming up, but we still do not know the format of the show or have had any interbranding as of yet, kind of going into the event. But June 26th, we will be, you and I and a myriad of all of our friends, or three of them, will be at the United Center with how many, do you know the number of tickets sold?
I'm guessing it's probably 20.
20? Okay, so it was like the first dance, probably?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if they sold everything out. I was trying to find cool music, and I couldn't.
And we got 100 level seating, and it's going to be a lot of fun, so we'll definitely be a little hype the weeks leading into, if not the day of, the night of, and the day after. We will be running the City of Shy WrestleCast Radio. Shout out to Warrior Wrestling and Murray and Catholic. They are making their way to Malcolm X College right across the street from the United Center. So maybe we'll be doing some radio. Hashtag WrestleCast Radio WW. It's trending.
There you go.
It's going to be really crazy. Chicago, Ryan, we're going to party like it's 1989. T-Swift style. Shout out Big
Time
Pack.
Little John Crunk instrumental. That's going to be fun, man. If that rumored card that I got is true, oh, my Lord.
The more I think about it, yeah, those matches, I'm like, what?
I never knew that I needed to see Shingo and Hiromu versus Keith Lee and Swerve Scott in my life. Or Despy and Darby.
Yeah, that match, that's going to be a huge plunder. And to see that would be majestic. It really would. Like, I'm smiling right now. Just imagining Desperado, El Desperado, Despy, just running the ropes like seven times in rapid fashion and then just doing a, you know, tope suicida. And then somehow Darby Allin throws a skateboard midair as he's diving. And it's just a bunch of crazy shit. Like, this is what I want. The Cracker Barrel match is between these two.
This is one of those things where, like, I could see Darby Allin, like, they're like, all right, Despy's the junior champ. He's going over. Any issues? No, it's cool. All right, I want you to give me the PJ Loco off the top rope to the floor. Okay, cool. Here's a sit-out facebuster pedigree on the floor from the top rope. You good? Yeah, I'm fine. Roll me in. Let's go. Okay, cool. How are you doing? Ah, my nose is a little busted. Ah, Despy's asshole's broke. But we enjoyed the match. Thanks, man. Like, oh, okay, it's just, they're going to walk away. No big deal. Nothing happened here. Nothing to see. Oh,
wow.
Gosh.
It's going to be, we don't want to say too much, you know, due to the unnamed source. But, yeah, when you told me that lineup, I was like, even 84% of that would be intense to see live, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, some good stuff. You know, and more thinking about it now, depending how the main event of Double or Nothing goes, almost if it goes the way that we kind of think it may go. Well, let me ask you this. Do you remember who I had said was the rumored Hangman opponent?
After Double or Nothing? Oh, no, I don't, actually.
He lied about being at the Tokyo Dome in our intro because he sent it to us in March.
Oh, yeah.
If Hangman retains the title, I think it makes it even clearer and easier to have win the two matches with Hangman and Punk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they don't, if Hangman loses, it makes it wide open for him and his opponent, which makes it a little more fun. And now you really don't know the main event then because it could go one of three ways being a draw. So I almost kind of hope for the sake of Forbidden Door that Punk wins.
Yes.
Because that just makes two matches of Forbidden Door that much more intriguing. Because if it's champ versus champ, aren't going to lose.
Like, if we get champ versus champ with CM Punk and Kazuchika Okada,
that's
two of our favorites. And
holy shit.
In Chicago as the main event.
Oh, God.
Going 42 minutes. We're going Broadway.
Yeah, I think I truly think if it's champ, it goes an hour Broadway, and I don't care. If they were going to go, hey, spoiler alert, they're going to go an hour Broadway, I'll go, fuck yeah, let's go.
Who gets the last move? Is it the Rainmaker or the Go to Sleep? Or is it the Money?
You know what would be awesome is if they did the Kenny Okada finish.
No.
But you make it a little different. He does the Go to Sleep. Okada lands behind him. He pulls him in for the Rainmaker, and Punk just falls over, and then Okada falls to his knees, and then they call time limit.
Oh, man.
Neither could beat each other. We're going to have a rematch at Wrestle Kingdom.
Jesus, take my blood.
Oh,
that's a to get me to Tokyo, take my blood. Take my blood, please. By Dracula.
You know, somebody brought this up, and they're like, man, you know, with how hot New Japan is right now, and with travel restrictions now opening up, man, what a good time to go to New Japan while they're seemingly might not have a lot of travelers, so it might still be a little easier.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn. If I bonus in Q3, do I take my money and go back? I thought about it. I'd go to Wrestle Kingdom, Noah, All Japan, like, I would do all the shows like we did in 2019, me and Isaiah.
Man, that would be nuts.
I mean, I really thought about it. Because that was the best trip
you
I've ever...
To?
What's that?
Which vending machine would you return to?
I didn't use any of the vending machines.
Aren't they, like, everywhere? Or is that
they are, but, like, We had a Family Mart, or a Lawson's, which is like 7-Eleven type thing.
Yeah.
We had a Lawson's in our hotel, like attached to the hotel.
Oh, jeez. Fancy.
Yeah, so this one got that stuff.
Your regular Iggy Azalea.
Man, I'm not performing at the State Fair.
Damn.
Oh, man. And then go back to Tokyo City, Tokyo Dome City, and go to the Dope Arcades, go to the MLB restaurant, and on top of that, go to the Denny's by the batting cages we went to, because the Denny's has spaghetti and meatballs there, and it was incredible.
Spaghetti and meatballs.
I wish there was a way that we could go, like you could go with, like we could figure out a way to make it work. You would love it. You would absolutely love Tokyo.
I got a Twitch or Instagram or do something.
Oh, man. You would love Tokyo.
Would I love the fashion, the food, the wrestling, or the landscape?
The food, wrestling, and the landscape. Especially now that you're like this nature dude.
I know, it's crazy.
We could go to this defense tower me and Isaiah went to. That was so cool.
I'm listening.
Like,
stuff. I mean, especially if CM Punk is there. I mean, again, take my wife, please.
And then we could go to the karaoke place we went to, like Big Loud or whatever it was called.
What song did they do?
He did a lot of like George Seeger and Eric Clapton and things like that.
Who's George Seeger?
I don't know. Maybe it's something else. Something Seeger.
I mean, Bob Seeger.
Bob Seeger. There you go. Corey Seeger on the. Well, fuck Corey Seeger. He watches. He's a Ranger.
He did leave?
Yeah, he signed with the Rangers. They gave him
Jack Harlow baseball.
They gave him ducats. But we spent $45 each. Right, I think it was either each or total, because Isaiah paid for it, because we couldn't buy the wrestling tickets with cash, so I withdrew the money to get cash because I was able to on my card and his wasn't. So I mean, that was credit card based. He would just buy, like we go to dinner, he'd buy dinner, and then I bought all the wrestling tickets. So like,
you really do have them under your times.
Really, what?
I said you really have them under your finger at times.
Well, I think I had spent more than he did, because like the All Japan shows are like $75 a piece.
That's not bad, man.
No,
for those
seats. Yeah, we have some really good seats. You saw it. Well, I mean, I had Kai pointing at me, shaking his head, no, don't cheer for Mahar, and I was like, oh god.
Now he's champ.
Yep. I think Big Japan was like $50. Tokyo Joshi Pro was $75, but we sat second row at that. So, I mean, we probably spent between $50 and $75, not counting Wrestle Kingdom and New Year's Dash. We went to what? Two All Japan, we went to Big Japan, DDT, Noah, Tokyo Joshi Pro, and then they ran that UK company ran that show the last night. So I bet you we spent probably $450 each on tickets, which isn't bad for seeing seven shows. And then obviously the I paid for all of Wrestle Kingdom, the hotel, and New Year's Dash, because he paid for the flight, and they came out to about the same, which was like $1,600.
Wow.
So it's like essentially we spent like, we could say probably with food, with all the food and shit we did, we probably each spent $4,000. For no connecting flight, round trip, business economy. So we had like the nicer seats, unlimited drinks, 300 movies, reclining seats, footrests. Like we were in our own row with nobody else around us, only two seats. So like we paid double for those seats because we wanted the luxury because of the flight. So we got 11. It was 11 days there. So 10 nights, 10 hotel nights, 9 wrestling shows. And round trip business economy was like $4,000. So, yes, it sounds like a lot, but it really wasn't a lot too. And that's That's counting a lot of the food. I'm not counting, like, my tracksuit and shit like that, but I'm just counting, like, buying food and stuff. Like, so when we went to Korakuen and Tokyo Dome, they allow you to bring a bag with two snacks or two. You can heat up two things of ramen and bring them and have meals, and two pop or alcoholic beverages you could bring in yourself and not have to buy. So, like, at Tokyo Dome in Korakuen, a beer was, like, $6. But
not bad.
We would just go to Lawson's, and for $1.50, we'd buy a Strong Zero, the Tony Storm special, which were 12% alcohol drinks. So we would spend $3 on two of those.
Or Loco?
These are way better. These tasted like a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Oh, jeez. I still can't believe I found that Four Loko in Sioux Falls, and I drank it. Only a quarter of it. I was like, yeah, this is going to turn bad. I gotta dump the rest out. And it was a giant-ass can. All right, Pete.
This is why there's a picture of a beer and Isaiah's nipple hanging out when I'm taking a picture of something, because he was hammered. Just he drank
two of
those
things.
There is a
nipple hanging. Come on.
So we would – and then we'd go, and I'd buy, like, a box for, like – $2 of, like, two rolls of Ritz crackers and, like, some chocolate. So I'd spend, like, $7 at Lawson's and bring that bag with me to Korakuen. So we'd get a little messed up during the wrestling show, so we were marking out hard by the end, and we had snacks. So we, like, didn't have to spend money there. It was awesome. So they don't care about the benefit.
Grand. And did you go to that wrestling store?
No, we didn't.
Not the New Japan
to,
one, but like,
yeah,
that, like, collectible one.
I didn't know it was there until after. Like, I didn't realize we were that we were close to it.
You got a second luggage.
Yeah. We went to a couple different wrestling stores though that were kind of cool. But yeah, no, I didn't know about that place until after. I wish I could remember what it was called.
The bomb ass spot.
Pro wrestling store in Japan.
You got to give me a Dragon Gate shirt collection when you're there.
I think it might have been the Tokon shop in Tsunebayashi. No, that's the New Japan store.
Hmm.
I wish I could remember.
I remember this is radio. That
Tokudan
episode.
That's what it was. Tokudan.
Okay.
People usually spend 30 to 90 minutes in that store. It's got like a big, tokudan.com. It has a big, NWA looking title on the front door.
That's cool. On the front door, huh?
Or, I mean, on the side of the building.
It's like, oh, wow.
I'm looking at all this shit. Like, inside of this glass case, you could buy a Great Muda mask that he wore, like, in, like, the early 90s that was, like, just, like, more of, like, a cloak over his head. Now I'm looking at the pictures of the shit. They got that Universal Championship. You can suck it. Oh, that. God, this store, I wish I would. I'm glad I didn't go there, I think, but. Where was it? Simtoshima City. Pro Wrestling Mask World was another place. That's in Kyoto.
Oh.
So it's by the Tokon shop. The Saitama.
So it's in the Wrestling Mark District, is what you're saying?
I'm trying to see how close it is to where I was. I'm going to pull up the rest.
Speaking of Mark, it seems like it's been a while, but I was definitely marking out. Thanks for your urging. Of with Dragon Gate and the last couple of shows that I've watched, I can't remember the last Dragon Gate we watched. I'm pretty sure, I'm hoping we watched some earlier this year, but it's been kind of a blur with all the crazy excitement in the early months of 2022. But yeah, it was like catching up with an old friend. It was really nice to kind of sit down. I even watched a majority of it on my phone, Ryan, and you know, my turns on phone wrestling, but the high def is so good on Dragon Gate as well as the Apple phone. So did I just call it the Apple phone, the iPhone 13 Max? There you go. But no, it's tight, and it was just a lot of fun to kind of see where Benkei was, you know, how Yoshida, you know, aka Cyber Kong, aka my doppelganger, aka can rock a cape like no other, and I cannot wait to rock mine one day. Just him kind of dominating and him getting pushed, and I'm loving seeing Takashi Yoshida just like murdering people and just having fun. Strong Machine J, I was kind of confused with that. Didn't I see him with a different promotion?
I mean,
DDT, or was he always with Dragon Gate? DDT,
no,
right?
It was DDT, because remember he used to have Strong Machine F and Strong Machine G with him?
Yeah, so when did, we always said J was the breakout, because he was the tiny one.
Yeah,
he's
the
cool stuff
of the original Strong Machine.
Okay.
And then,
but when did he jump ship?
He's always been in, this was a Dragon Gate, they debuted in this company.
Whoa.
I think 2019. I'm going to pull it up here.
I was really confused. I heard the music. I was like, I haven't heard that theme.
That shit. Yeah, so, yeah.
But
April
was being
10th,
a
2019. Strong Machine. Strong Machine FG and Jade debuted and defeated Genki, KZ, and Susumu on April 10th of 2019.
I mean, that
so he's
sense.
Had 151 matches.
No, you're kidding.
I want to give a shout-out to Strong Machine F and G, who just happened to not be there, and it was weird. But we did see Don Fuji, which was cool, ironically.
Yeah.
He was there.
He was holding
yeah,
a skateboard, and I wanted to see him ride that skateboard so much. It made me so happy to see him smiling, holding a skateboard, hanging 10.
So, Dragon Gate's had 3 shows in the last 12 days. I guess we could kind of just run through, I guess, without, you know, why don't we do this? Let's, I'll run through the show, give winners and, you know, give the wins. I'll give a star rating.
Okay. So
and
we're
going to
start
say,
with Dragon Gate Dead or Alive, May
yep,
6th.
And then
I'll
run through all 9 matches, and then we can kind of pick about what we want to talk about. That way we can kind of just go through the shows and not fully review yeah. things, but kind of hit what was big to us. So I'll run through the show. I'll give my star ratings on them, and then you can give your thoughts, and then I'll give thoughts after, since I kind of gave my star rating as like a indication. I feel, Alex, I'm a pretty good star rater. I feel I'm not too far from
yep.
the consensus. So that'll kind of
and
tell you.
I'm not
going
to lie. I've swerved you into, you know, the right direction, good or bad.
So we'll say that, I'll let you elaborate more on that too. I'll kind of just give the consensus of the match, and then you listeners can decide if you want to go back and watch it or not. So there's 9 matches on the show. One I definitely want to talk about after I flip it over to you. Opening match for the Twin Gate titles, the Brats defeat D-Corage, Shin Skywalker Diamante defeat Dragon Daya and Yuki Yoshioka via double press slam on Daya. I went 3.5. Problem Dragon wins a 4-way with Shachioko Machine, who's not Shachioko Boy, he's one of the strong machines. Kodomami Ichikawa and Yosuke Santa Maria went 2.25. Dragon wins, reversing the figure 4 on Ichikawa, who immediately taps. 2.75 of the next match, we had Takashi Yoshida via Pineapple Bomber on Ishinahashi. It was Masaki Mochizuki, Don Fuji, Yasushi Kanda, and Takashi Yoshida defeating Strong Machine J, La Estrella, Ishin Ihashi, and Takuma Fujiwara. It's my young boy I think I like. Then we had three stars, and this was a shock to me, especially what happened on the first night of King of Gate. But we saw
BB Hulk
and Kyo Watanabe defeat Madoka Kakuta and Jackie Funky Kamei. Hulk with the first flash on Kakuta, which blew my mind. He just beat the shit out of Kakuta.
Yep.
3 stars on match 5. High End gets the victory over Benkei, Kaisuke Okuda, and Kagakura get the win over Genki Horiguchi, Jason Lee, and Punch Tomonaga. Okuda with a choke on Punch, which... was weird.
So Okuda did. Okay.
Then we had match six. I went 3.5 on this. Natural Vibes, KZ and UT successfully retained the Okinawa Pro, Kyushu Pro tag team titles, defeating Yamato and Dragon Kid. UT with the Hikari Noa on Dragon Kid that he was given by Kness, which was awesome to see. Open the Brave Gate title, Dragon Dia with the Reptilian Bible combination defeats SB Kento with 3.5 on this one. Then we had Paris Del Mar win the Triangle Gate titles, Nostalgia Rongai, Eita, and Kotaro Suzuki defeating Naruki Doi, Kaito Ishida, and Kota Minora. Rongai rolls up Doi with 3 stars. And then in a match where he had to change his name and leave Natural Vibes, Kai defeats Susumu Yokosuka with Meteor Impact. I went 4.75. I almost went the full 5. This was the best Susumu title match for me I've ever seen. Kai was fantastic. The emotion behind this and the post-match emotion with Genki leaving the group too, which was incredible because it makes room now for potentially who else could, I'm hoping, goes and joins Natural Vibes, and we'll talk about that when we talk about King of Gate Night 2. But that was your Dead or Alive show. Alex, the floor is yours, my good sir.
No, I thought this was a really, really entertaining, fast-paced show. Awesome wrestling, especially Dragon Dia. Two-match Dia, as I like to call him, as he did a double duty. Diamante, though, him and Shun Skywalker, I loved this tag team. I thought they worked tremendously together. I love how Diamante, God, his growth has been, and I'm not saying his height, his growth in the ring from me fast-forwarding to me glued to the screen, seeing him work. He's like what Kane should have been. Or, you know, maybe he was, you know, in the early stages of that character. But
in his shirt.
Yeah.
He looked awesome as shit with that, like, I'm a French assassin. Like, whatever the fuck that it was. He looked awesome.
Yeah. It was a really... really awesome show, and just, you know, the Z-Brats, it's just a awesome faction where, again, that name kind of annoyed me at first, but, you know, I was fine with that. But Dragon Dia not successful in the opening match there. Yoshioka, again, great tag team. I can't wait to see a rematch down the line. Don Fuji, again, holding a skateboard, really, really awesome. BB Hulk, tremendous match. He looked rejuvenated. I thought he was great with Io Watanabe, and like you said, him just slaughtering a returning Kakuta, and just, man, just Kakuta sold the shit out of it. I loved it. I was afraid that he was going to be out again, but no, it was really damn cool to see this match. And I did not see the Benkei match, even though I wanted to. But when I was fast-forwarding, I did see a glimpse of his look, and he looks wonderful, as always. That boyish charm, if you will, with that hairstyle. but, yes, the big emotion. Oh, yeah, Dragon Dia, SB Kento, a chef's kiss on that match. Little perturbed, SB Kento didn't win the strap, but in the end, he actually doesn't need it, and Dragon Dia definitely can carry that title and get those houses packed. Especially getting that female demographic. So, well, both of them could, really, because he's sexy boy Kento for a reason. But SBK not winning the Open the Brave Gate championship, as Ryan stated, but that main event, again, wonderful.
Oh, my God.
Also, was just a – Kai has carried this championship, the Open the Dream Gate championship, I shall say, to good heights. I mean, we like Shun Skywalker's reign, you know, kind of towards the end, that character change, you know, is actually kind of a cool thing. But Kai kind of did the thing, you know, kind of since joining RED when that was a thing. That's so weird to say. But
that
Kai
was Dead or Alive 2020, 2 years ago.
20, okay.
When that was, if I remember right, I think it was 20, when he climbed the top. And if he was the first guy out, he would get eliminated, or he would have to join RED. But if Yamato was the first guy out, he got a title shot against Eita. and they both were at the top, and they're like, you got to go so you get the shot. And then I'll go on after you so I don't enjoy R.E.D. And then he smokes Yamato, and then he leaves, and he has to join R.E.D. And he's like, oh, that sucks. Like, oh, such good, oh, this company. So good. You know, I think, too, Alex, they told the perfect story that mm-hmm. we didn't know we were going to get with the way that they did the two Dia matches.
I was surprised. Why did he pull double duty? Just because
he
draw the house?
Because he had two. I mean, they were the tag champs and he's Brave Gate.
True, true.
I have to say you're 100% spot on. If they run the table this year, early spoiler, Shoot and Diamante could be my tag team of the year. This is they fucking rule. Oh, my God.
Agreed.
Shouldn't Skywalker is going, I'm going to take tag team of the year, and I'm going to take heel of the year. Because his stuff, it's why I added him at the end of last year and why I praised it so high when we did our year end.
Yeah.
This, the December Shun Skywalker crazy, you know, I don't know what I'm talking, I'm confused, I feel like this, but I feel like that, and I'm mentally unstable, yada, 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 was incredible work that in 1 month it put him on my list. Now, this goes with your sentiments exactly, I agree with. When they were Z-Brats, I was like, this is stupid. And now it just seems like a natural fit because of how good they are.
Agreed.
Shun, Kai, Diamante, Espiquento, Kill. I mean, it's my lord, man. Did you finish night two yet?
Yes, I did.
So there's Hyo. Hyo might never be a Brave Gate or Dream Gate champion, but he officially now has that staple attached to him because this is the second year in a row he's done this, that whoever draws him around one of King of Gate, you better hope it's not some dude you like because your boy might not be advancing if you know where I'm going. Like, that's now Hyo Watanabe for me. Like, I can't wait to see next. All I want to know is next year, even though it's not even over, who is being pushed and has to face heel? And can they make it to round two because of what this guy does in these matches? Like, that finish was fantastic with Dia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we'll get into that here. But, the stable, I thought I was never going to get over R.E.D. being gone. Now I'm whatever. Kai was a guy that
I wouldn't so far to say whatever, but no,
that's
I agree.
Fair.
But Kai, you know, and what's crazy is they're champions in this faction, and Kai is again the Open the Dream Gate champion, and he's not an afterthought per se, but you're just like, oh yeah, Kai's been doing great work, and he's been holding this belt, you know, for this company, and I would say, you know, pick the right horse when he joined RED 2 years ago. So. It's just a lot of fun. But Dragon Dia, that look and that charisma and the win, I mean, it looks like anything, you know, he's just going up and up. So, I mean, good for him. He's just, again, wonderful to watch in the ring.
Is it fair to say that this company does the right
knows
thing?
Knows how to push young talent? Yes.
That's a horse that we will never get off of, that we will say to people, like, you want to push new stars, do what these motherfuckers are doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just throw them out there and say, wrestle, go put on a match, tell a story. And you know what? You're going to make a draw in 5 minutes. But it's going to work.
Is it fair to say that this company doesn't make their champions just be champions for the sake of doing it? They understand that if done correctly, you can elevate talent. Look at what it did for Ben K. Look what it did for Kai right now. Look what it did for Shun Skywalker. And to make Kai, they calculated it where they did it, where they did it in a way that they were able to elevate Kai to a level he's never been.
Very true. I mean,
you see where I'm going? Like, yeah, no, this Kai was never this guy in any company. Even Wrestle 1 where he was never this guy. But they knew after this giant friendship and then turn into a feud, people might be pissed that we're going to put the title back on Yamato, but it's about the normal time because we do it every 4 or 5 years. But on top of it, we're going to elevate Kai at Final Gate and no one's going to see it coming. Because we all were like, well, we all kept saying, does this mean Kai is going to carry the title all the way into, where am I going, into Kobe World? Like, is he going to go all the way to Kobe World with it? No, he beats.
Yeah, that's where you push whoever wins Kinga Gate, right? Or do they get a match prior?
So Dangerous Gate 2020, it was in September. I thought it was at Dead or Alive, but it was Dangerous Gate when Kai turned. But I knew it was during that the weird year. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those where it's just they understand that if done right, putting a belt on somebody will elevate them. They don't just do it to do it. It's calculated.
Yes.
And like, I truly believe Pac winning the title was obviously because they're like, he wanted to come back and they were like, hell yeah, let's go. We're going to make you the champion, strap the Rockets here back. But they said, look, in 6 months at Kobe World, we got a guy that's going to beat you. And his name is Ben Kay because we're ready to finally push him. And Pac was like, great, I'm going to make sure I never take a loss at any booking until then. And you know what? They made Ben Kay that way.
Yes.
And who look at what they did with this. Naruki Doi beats Ben Kay. I didn't even think of it this way. It gets even more perfect. Doi winning was oh, my God, he lost to Doi, but now you have Doi. And what did he do? He dropped it to Eita, who finally got the rub after years and years, tried Vanguard stuff, doing the Antias, doing Berserk, and then finally going to R.E.V. They solidified him. And how did they solidify him? By making him beat Naruki Doi, to which the returning from Excursion Shin Skywalker gets the rub and beats him. It's so perfect. This company is so good, man. This is why we talk their praises to people. Like, when Dragon Gate... They get it. It's they take the hard part and just throw it out the window and make it easy and smart. And you go, damn, why didn't I see that coming? Because all of this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And now Susumu leaves. He's got to go. Genki leaves with him. And without talking about the tournament, night two of King of Gate. Or excuse me, night 3, because I forgot that I figured out there was a night 2 in Gifu that wasn't on the network. Night 3, which was the day later in Kobe Sambo Hall, which is why I obviously didn't put Kobe on there. We had the team of Masaki and Susumu Mochizuki, because Susumu Mochizuki is his real name, Takashi Yoshida and Yuki Yoshioka, tagging with Hoho Loon, taking on the Z-Brats team. BB Hulk, Diamante, Kai, SP Kento, and Shin Skywalker, to which all the shenanigans and craze are going on, and I believe it was SP Kento, I don't think it was BB Hulk, but I think it was SP Kento, was laid there, and who comes out of nowhere and pins him? Hoho Loon.
Wow.
After the match is over, we see KZ, Funky Jackie Kamei, and the Hong Kong Tornado, I believe he goes by, Jason Lee all come up, and they're talking about it, and Hoho Loon is now getting a tryout to join Natural Vibes. And we can have Hong Kong, which we talked about when we had him on the show, we could see Hong Kong Express back together, Hoho Loon and Jason Lee. So, Genki leaving made another opening, and it looks like they're going to put Hoho Loon in there. Because I think at the next show, he's got to do the dance routine. Let's see if he can get in. He's got a tryout.
That is awesome.
Go
check out the archives. Ryan's interview with Hoho Loon about a month and a half back. Awesome 60-minute interview there. And he gets get to know a little bit more and respect Hoho and what he does and, you know, kind of in and out of the ring and, you know, kind of the past there and just listen to Ryan's tremendous interview skills. But
thank you,
wow,
sir.
That's a great, that is a great you know, kind of turn of events there. And I love his commentary, though. So that was a nice thing at work. It would make me smile when I would watch a little here and there. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. Him and Jay. So.
They're so fun. They're so fun. I got to say, too, the Dead or Alive might not have been, like, the best show, but it was definitely where you could tell we're in Dragon Gate season now. Like, it's about to pick up.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, they've had 10 matches so far in this tournament. I have a five and five record booking the King of Gate. That's how insane this year's tournament is. I am now in a spot where I don't know who is going to beat what or what is going to happen with who. I need to change this. I have the brackets written down. Change that to Okuda. And what was the other match that I saw? It was UT and Kagetora. So that's right there. Fans, oh, I'm even more hyped now. So we'll go through these brackets here. I guess let's go through this here. Night one, Alex, I went 1-3 on my predictions with only the main event as the only one I got right.
Really?
Yep. I had out of the four quadrants, I had Eita, Yuki Yoshioka, Jason Lee, and Naruki Doi as the final four. I had Jason Lee beating Naruki Doi, and I had I think at one point I had Eita and Jason Lee in the finals, and then I switched it to either KZ or Kota Minoru. Whoever wins, that's going to win the thing. And then I started going with Yuki Yoshioka, and then I got confused. But I remember I did have Jason Lee making the final, was how I had it.
I like that.
So I thought there was a chance SB Kento could make a run, too. Then night one happened.
That did not happen, yeah. No.
Opening match. Madoka Kakuta with his rolling hand of God, Lariat, he calls it the hand of God, 3.5 stars, defeats SB Kento after getting squashed 10 days later. He goes on to beat SB Kento. I was shocked.
You'd love to see it.
I loved it, and I was ecstatic. I wasn't even mad. As an SB Kento guy, I loved it. And by the way, Kakuta has gotten bigger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, he just won this match.
Yeah, he a couple of hand of gods, I want to say, which was really nice. And, this was a good match, a good chapter into a rivalry. Let's be real, a union, you know, that started in, you know, kind of coming up being those young boys where we're like, hey, these guys are the future, you know, including, you know, Funky Jackie Kamei. So that's awesome, you know, kind of seeing him there in the mix as well. But, you know, these two... This is the future, not only of Dragon Gate, Puro, you know, wrestling, what have you. And this was just a good match, a little glimmer of what their main event status could be, you know, maybe a year or two down the line. So I truly enjoyed that, this opener.
Also, breaking news, that sucks. Shoya Sato, who was one of the young boys that was really rock and rolling, he wore the biker tights that were like blue with gold flames on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember him from some of the shows before Dead or Alive. Shoya Sato has been advised by doctors that continuing to compete as a professional wrestler could cause further deterioration of his herniated lumbar condition, which would have an impact on his overall quality of life. Because of this, Shoya has made the decision to retire from in-ring competition after one final match in his hometown on May 24th.
Wow.
Yeah, that sucks. He was a fun one. Apparently, they still have two more kids in the dojo, aside from Masaharu Ito, who made the save in the next match when Hyo was going to take out Mochizuki with a chair.
Yeah.
Mochizuki and others. They want to reform M2K for the Toruman Reunion Volume 2 on June 3rd, but the retirement of K-Ness left a space. Mochizuki decided on the spot to give that space to Eto to make his official in-ring debut. So he's a part of one of my favorite factions from the late 90s. This guy's never worked a match yet. That blows my mind. I'm laughing hysterically.
See, Mokuzuki just be like, hey, this is what's happening, and you're going to be there. And he's like, what? Like an Oprah moment.
I was a huge M2K and Crazy Max guy in the late 90s when Toramon started. The two Mochizukis and Kness, and then you had Shima and all those guys on the other side. Just a lot of fun stuff. And then, the Hokkaido shows tonight, too, night three or night four. Hell yeah. Can't check that out. That stinks that he will not be able to participate anymore.
Hmm.
Damn. That was something.
Sorry,
that was interesting. And then also, so we move on to, I pulled up Dead or Alive. I didn't mean to do that again.
Isn't it crazy that Kaito Ishida is just like, boy, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. amazing. You heard his thing kind of, you know, in the beginning of the show. And, you know, he's like standing next to Kota Minoru and Naruki Doi. He's kind of like an afterthought. And not an afterthought per se, but you're just like, oh, yeah, that's Kaito Ishida. Like, this guy was such... Well, he was so fun to watch, you know, in the ring, just his attitude, you know, kind of after, again, joining RED, just a plethora of young talent, you know, kind of finding their inner douchebaggery, and it works so well, because, again, the people over, you know, people like Dragon Daya, you know, as we see at night two, and it's just really fun to kind of see, you know, to kind of see where he, you know, develops a little bit more. It seems, again, he's kind of in the middle of the shuffle where we know, you know, a bright future is ahead. But Kota Minoru, my God, he is jacked. He's like the Takeshita of Dragon Gate, it seems like. That guy is a specimen unlike no other. And the legendary Naruki Doi. A lot of fun. I was excited to see this team. And then, oh, yeah, Stinger comes. And boom.
Peros del Mal. Peros del Mar.
Whatever that
is. The one who shows
same
up. Thing. Same thing, yeah. I mean, kind of.
Noah.
True. it's the Noah scum and unfortunately Ace is a part of it.
Damn right. But at least Ace is out there.
Oh, yeah, she So then we get Ata taking on Shin Skywalker. And I was on the bandwagon of the Summer of Ata tour. Shin Skywalker counters a roll-up with a roll-up of his own 3.5. Shin Skywalker defeats Ata. I'm now 0-2.
Surprised the hell out of me. Great finish, though. Because, yeah, like you said, the roll-up by a roll-up was tremendous to see.
Now I'm sitting there going, well, I believe two of my quadrants that I had people going to the championship have now been eliminated. So that
man,
was
those Imperial Unos, those were on point. You know, it was fun to kind of see these two, you know, especially from, it wasn't, I think, their best match, the title match that they had when Ata was champion. You know, I thought it could have been a little bit more to it. You know, I don't think it really heated up, but this match I thought was a lot of fun. And again, a fantastic ending to, you know, kind of cement their rivalry kind of going forward, even though they're both a little heelish.
Now, not to jump all over, but it definitely intrigues me. Madoka Kakuta, who got squashed at Dead or Alive, do you think there's a chance he could make it to the finals?
I think so. You got a great storyline there. A year of injury in his, you know, open the dream gate, you know, championship opportunity there. And, you know, just a freak accident happens. And, you know, the squash, I mean, look at it as the Tommy Dreamer, you know, yes, sir, may I have another, you know, type of, you know, lashing, if you will. Or not the shit they did on AEW, but, you know, kind of like that. And, you know, he's there to work up. But, yeah, I think he has a chance. If not, he comes up a little short. And that just can help him, you know, in the long run.
So, second round, he either has to face BB Hulk or Naruki Doi, who wrestles today. So, I'll find out his second round opponent today. I think
so, BB Hulk then.
Yeah, there you go. And then he gets his win back. I didn't even think of that. You just booked it. You just, okay, fantastic. So now he's in the Elite Eight. It's not tonight. The other match tonight, the 22nd is KZ and Kota Minoura. And that one, I don't know who's going to win that. I think whoever wins that match is winning has a chance to win the tournament. But I'm trying to find it. It's Doi and BB Hulk tonight. And then it's also Kaito Ishida and Susumu Mochizuki. Holy shit, that's going to be tight. So we get tonight on the show, we get Susumu and Ishida and BB Hulk and Doi. Great show tonight. So say he goes through and he beats BB Hulk, like we said. So now you have Ben K and Jason Lee. I think Jason Lee's winning.
I agree.
So now that
you think Ben K taking all these L's, you know, kind of in tag matches or single matches here as of late, especially after being, you know, the champion. Does Ben K, I mean, does he take any effect from these losses? I think it seems like no, in a way. Like, he's there to fill whatever spot on the card, and I think that's okay, right?
I don't think it hurts him in any way, but I do have some Ben K news, but I haven't confirmed it, so I'm not going to talk about it. But
okay.
I have some Ben. I'll share it with you. I'll get an answer tonight, I'm sure.
Okay.
But I'll share it with you off air when I get the answer. I don't want to say something that's wrong. And I'm like, never mind, way off. I'll get it tonight, at least to you, and then we can talk about it next show.
Is he going to be Dragon Gate's ambassador to AEW since they – or no, is it MLW?
MLW is what they're with.
Oh, man. Is he going to be their excursion guy?
Damn, they better run some shows in this area. I want to go see Ben K. Shit. So then obviously, so Jason Lee will get a bye to face Madoka Kakuta because he takes on a match that ended in a draw night two, we'll get to.
Yeah.
So now you have him there. Maybe the guy we're going to talk about next could be his opponent in the fight. Like, so Jason Lee, Madoka Kakuta. I think Jason Lee is going to make the finals, but I said that before Kakuta actually beat SB Kento because I had Lee and SB Kento in the final match in that quadrant.
Oh, okay.
So now it changes the whole game for me because having them make Kakuta win, he'll beat Doyer or BB Hulk, I'm guessing, although this tournament's so wacky. Like, right now, you look at it. Yeah. You set that up perfectly. Like, kudos to you for – I didn't think that at all. But, I mean, there's a chance Madoka Kakuta's in the finals of King of Game. You know what I mean? Like,
why not? And the thing is, like I said, it can go either way. And you know, obviously winning would boost him up more. But losing, I think, would enhance him a little bit, you know, not to that championship level. But, you know, it just builds on to, you know, his character and his return.
So, God, yeah. This company's so tight. There's so many ways this can go. So let's run through this card or the rest of these because I want to pick your brain on some stuff with this.
Yeah.
Match 3 was incredible. We see arguably the number one seed in the tournament, the Z-Brats leader, the Dragon Gate, Open the Dream Gate champion, Kai, make his way to the ring, taking on my boy that I love talking about as much as I told you at Kobe World last year. I don't like Anagu Ishii or whatever they were called because I don't like some of the scummy guys with them. But, man, if you remember, I've only done one match watch-along review on Twitch, and it was T-Hawk versus this man, Shuji Kondo, 2019 for the Wrestle One Championship. I love Shuji Kondo. He's so tight. He's so good, and I wish they used him more. The 32-seed Shuji Kondo comes in, multiple King Kong lariats, 39 seconds, defeats Kai. Holy fuck, I was marking out.
Awesome. It was... I rewound it because I was like, wait, what did I miss? How did that just happen? I was really confused. I'm happy Jay brought that up later in the broadcast during the next match. Like, oh, by the way, if you're expecting to see, you know, Kai and Shuji Kondo, 38 seconds. And it was just cool to see. I mean, King Kong ain't got shit on Kondo. And, you know, it just worked. It was beautiful. A great surprise, you know, for everyone. The crowd loved it at home or at Kurukan.
Oh, man, what is this? Hold on.
Okay, I won't. Started for Roman Reigns. Emma goes to the AEW. Can I at least see Emma?
Sure, Mom. If Roman Reigns gets to AEW, you can DM my ex-boyfriend.
Ooh, okay, I won't.
Whoa. HBO show Hacks with the Roman Reigns and AEW reference from tonight.
Love Hacks.
That's right.
No, I'm not curious. It's one of the shows that makes me happy and smile.
Did you finish Tokyo Vice?
No, I
you piece of shit.
I know. I watched Moon Knight and I was kind of disappointed.
Oh, my God. The end of Tokyo Vice had like four things happen where I was like, jacked, and then I was pissed and frustrated, and then I was like confused, and then I was jacked again.
Wait, the boss woman of the paper gets murdered?
No.
Okay. Wait, she's part of the Yakuza?
But I go tell you, watch it. You can't. How many of you have left?
Yeah, I checked it. I was like, I'm still on episode 2. Well, the thing is, like, when I watched it, you know, it, like, the internet sucks, and like, it just would swirl, you know, and it's LG and their apps, which suck. But, like, I like watching it in Dolby Vision and on my Xbox. I don't have that option. So
God, you fucking cake eater.
I'm not. I know. So I've been watching nothing but Real Housewives and other stuff.
You're watching Real Housewives over Tokyo? God.
Oh, no.
You know, If somebody doesn't go to movies, I watched the new Sonic movie with my kid because I bootlegged that shit. I bootlegged Morbius and sat through that shit. I went and saw Doctor Strange.
That was the movie that did not need to be made.
I'm finished with the first 6 episodes, caught up on Better Call Saul. I just got done watching the Laker Dynasty thing. I've been watching TV. I went back and started binging old the challenges.
Wow.
And I still have kept up on wrestling. And I watched Tokyo Vice. You swine. You didn't watch any Champions Carnival. You didn't watch Tokyo Vice. But you watched Real Housewives. You gotta be kidding me.
I mean, they fight and it's silly.
I got done watching the man
the
that I predicted win the Champions Carnival, and I haven't watched his title match from the 14th yet, but the final was tremendous.
He
and
got
the
his
match,
title match? Wait, Iagi beat Jake Lee, huh? And then
in
Iagi
the finals,
got his
yep, tremendous match. And Aoyagi and Miyahara was tremendous, too. Went to a draw.
Yeah.
Spoilers, because nobody's going to watch at this point. Went to a draw. But it was like 70-30 Aoyagi the whole match.
Nice. Which he always dominates Miyahara, which is nice to kind of see. I always thought he always looked strong in those matches.
And watch, as good as the final was, I think the Miyahara match was better. But it's just because at the end of the day, like, Aoyagi works Jake Lee, Kento Miyahara, and Kento Miyahara is just so good that it just, you like, the hype didn't last because of my head. I'm going, but that Kento match was really good. You can't.
Yeah.
So the 14th was Runaway Suplex against Towering Inferno, and we have the Ishino questioning Suwama because he lariated him on accident, and then Ishikawa pinned him before this. So I haven't watched the tag title match. And then the 15th was Miyahara and Aoyagi. So I still got to watch that. So I got that on my plate. I got night 3 from this morning or yesterday, one of the two of the Super J, Best of Super Juniors. And then and like 4 hours is night 3 or night 4 of King of Gates. So a few things. I'm trying to get everything caught up so I can do my 3-month binge of Stardom, or 2-3-month binge of Stardom I need to do because I'm so behind in Stardom. And I love Stardom. It's one of my favorite companies in the world. So
only
I'm trying to get
better.
Everything caught up. I'm like 95% caught up on all of my companies. Caught up on DDT. I'm caught up on Dragon Gate minus today. I have one show to watch in New Japan, and then I have two to watch in All Japan. And then I'm going straight to Stardom for like a week.
Oh, man.
By the way, shout out to Konosuke Takeshi and Adam Page from last night. That fucking rules.
Did it? I kind of wanted to see that.
Oh, it's incredible.
I'm excited to kind of see, but I'm kind of bummed that he would take the L. But
the only fear I have is if I was Tony Khan, I wouldn't want to book Takeshi Kata against my champion because he looked three times. That's not fair. But if I didn't know anything and you said watch this match, I would say that guy's better than this guy with Takeshi.
I was about to say, so that was the thing where, I mean, maybe he didn't hurt in that L because it got him great exposure.
Like, there's a point, like, this doesn't spoil anything, but he gets tombstoned by Paige. And
whoa.
He starts selling the neck, and then he starts selling the shoulder, the elbow, and then he starts selling his wrist, and he's like, I can't feel my fingers. And he's selling that he's losing feeling in his body from the tomb. Like, who thinks of that shit if you're not Toshiaki Kawada or Tomohiro Ishii? Takeshi, there's a reason why we both had him high. We both had him as the runner-up to Miyahara in our final four of our March Madness.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason. Or no, we had him beat Miyahara. He lost to Nakajima. We had him number two.
Oh.
Like, because remember then we were like, holy shit, Miyahara's going to wrestle Takuya Nomura. Who we had losing in the final four, they were going to work the champions card. We're like, oh shit, how ironic is that? And then Nakajima beat Takeshi in the final. Like, so we've been singing Takeshi's praise for years. And
oh,
by
yeah,
the way,
yeah.
Mike
That's
Carr says his name better than most do.
Well, definitely better than me.
I got a text from Brian that was like, tell me about him. Mike Carr was like, tell me about Konosuke Takeshita. Like, that's how my car talked. I'm like, damn, that was perfect.
I love his long hair, man. God, he looks huge.
He
looks like a wrestler. He's your prototype wrestler.
Isn't he? He's just so fucking tight, man.
A year, he should be making money for every company he's in.
Yeah, when you watch the match, you're going to go, man, he's bringing Hangman Page to a really good match. It isn't. Well, these guys are having a really good match.
I mean, Hangman bringing it early on. That was a nice diving lariat. Now he's jumping over. Page looks hyped. I mean, I don't get why people don't like him.
He did a really good job, but you can tell watching. Like even Doof texted me about it. In a way, you could tell that Konosuke Takeshita is just on such a different level than people.
Does he get a match at Forbidden Door?
Probably not because maybe if he doesn't work a New Japan guy.
What if they do a Rumble?
Holy shit. What if they do Takeshita and Omega?
What? Is that DDT time?
Yeah, what if they do that?
I mean, I would not be against.
Oh, my God.
Have they touched when Omega was there? Or was he too young still?
No, Takeshita and Endo beat Ibushi and Omega for the tag titles.
Oh, wow.
That's actually on the network, too.
They got his.
Incredible.
And then Ibushi shows up. Oh, shit. I mean,
yeah,
this
like
is a really good
2013.
Match. Paige is doing fantastic. But Takeshita,
yeah,
like you said, is selling the shit out of everything. Like,
he's
a wrestler.
He does a tremendous job. This is one of the best Adam Page matches I've seen without Omega or Danielson. But
the
you
fire.
Can clearly tell how good Takeshita is. And the thing about it, the reason I say that, is Adam Page is working harder than he usually does because he knows how good Takeshita is.
Yes.
So
yes,
to 100%. Hang with him, he's got to work. He's making Page work harder, which to me shows how good Takeshita is.
Yep.
And he's 26 or whatever. Like, fuck. 28 or whatever.
He's been doing it since 16. Working those summers. Again, ladies and germs, if you want to learn about, Takeshita, Go to your Vice app. It might be on Hulu as well. The Wrestlers, they had a great, I think, 10-part documentary series. And one of them was about, you know, Japanese wrestling, but mainly about DDT. And they had a great, you know, segment on Takeshita, and he explained his story and his love of wrestling and how he would write letters and say, when can I train? I want to train. I want to be a wrestler. And then being, you know, disregarded and whatnot. And then, you know, him finally getting, you know, an internship, you know, cleaning and doing this and that, but, you know, kind of learning and people realizing he has the fire. And my God, he's just grown and grown in every facet. And he's just one of the best, and to get exposure on TV and for people to, you know, take notice. I think that's the big thing. Again, I was a little leery. I was like, wow, he's going to take two L's, but he's going against two top wrestlers, you know, the, you know, of now. And, you know, it's not bad to say, hey, I lost to Jay Lethal and Adam Page, you know, on TV. So I should stop worrying, trust the system. TK is a big Pyro nerd, so I mean, I think he should be in good hands. And Omega, wow, I wouldn't be mad.
tell me if you think this is accurate. So Brian Klecker said, tell me about Konosuke Takeshita. The response after what I said was, I just watched it with Jumbo. He's pretty good, great match, fast and short, but good. Jumbo asked me to ask you that, dude. He's so close to getting into Pearl. So that's why Jumbo asked Brian to ask me that. So here's my description. Right. I said, started in DDT at like 16 back in 2013 or so. Tagged with Ibushi and Omega there. Four-time DDT champ and their ace, essentially. Only 26. Was my number two wrestler last year and is doing a year tour in America. Also had a fucking banger on Dynamite last night with Hangman. That was my description of Konosuke Takeshita.
Encapsulation.
But, Alex, speaking of young, tying it back in, our main event, I went 4 stars. This was Notebook. Yuki Yoshioka via Inferno defeats Yamato, advances.
Awesome. Awesome.
Such a good match. And now it makes sense why Daya lost the title because of what's going to happen. Yuki Yoshioka, after the match, saying, hey, now, you better win your match so we can see each other in the finals. Ha-ha!
Oh, those frog splashes, awesome. Good passing of the guard, if you will. Yamato looked flawless as ever, beautiful hair as ever, but no, it was definitely Yoshioka's night, and it was a pleasure to watch, and this was a great, great night one. Like I said, it was like meeting up with an old friend and a smooth two and a half hour watch. So definitely check it out on the Dragon Gate Network.
By the way, you should go back and watch, if you get time, which you don't have, but I'm just paraphrasing, if. Aside from that Noah show, you should go back and watch that DDT Max Bump show that had the Takeshita Endo match.
Okay.
That card was really good. If DDT Max Bump in Yokohama, it was a 11-match show, but I had a lot of fun for a lot of it. I mean, a lot of it was really fun. So I would recommend watching if you can.
Okay.
There's a couple things that were kind of...
I just saw him, Takeshita, just dive over the rope and just nailing Hangman on the outside, and wow. Great momentum. Crowd is into it. Flawless side. What is
Endo
it?
And Yuki Ueno.
6'7"?
The final. Yeah, he's a big-ass dude, man. Yeah, it's Yuki Ueno and Endo. I forgot. Judgment was the Endo Takeshita March 31st. And then what you didn't see, because I figured this out today, the actual night two of King of Gate, I went 2-0 on this. UT defeats Kagetora 3.25. I went UT wins via the Passion. It was a fun match. And then Kaisuke Okuda. What's that?
I said I missed UT. I do like UT. Natty Vibes.
Really good match. It was fun. It's on their YouTube. So it was just like a 10. It's probably, if you were to watch UT and then the Okuda versus Punch or Problem Dragon, Without with entrances, it's 24 minutes long for the two. Not long.
Oh.
So it's a nice easy watch. Then Kaisuke Okuda with a choke beats Prom Dragon. There was no fucking way in hell Prom Dragon was beating Okuda. So whatever.
No.
It wasn't anything official. Where am I looking? Okay, we got 34 minutes. Okay. I felt like we're running out of time here. We still got to finish this show. But night two, I had a lot of fun. Takumi Fujiwara and Ishii Nahashi went to a draw. I went 3 3 quarters. I almost went notebook on this. I fucking loved this match, Alex. This was two young boys who were given the, you're going against each other in the first round. You got 15 minutes to do what you want. This was
awesome. I was confused for a second by their attire because it was amazing. Lightning bolts and whatnot, but yes, it was a really, really fun
Holy
match.
Shit.
Again, the young boys are just given the open reins, no roaming around for them, along the mat, just doing eight tonight, not even eight moves, what, five, six moves? These guys are putting on stories and matches, and yeah, the draw was a crazy cool thing to kind of see their reaction, and yeah, this was just a lot of fun.
Now, mind you, Ishii Nahashi, he was some major college professor or something. And then Ricky Nahashi, his brother, was who's injured. He was like a law enforcement guy or special forces guy. And they both turned to wrestling because both their mom and their mother and their father were both wrestlers. So that's why they turned to wrestling to try it. Obviously, they understood it and it clicked because it's just in their blood. Both great, but Takuma Fujiwara is so good. I feel like this guy is going to be SB Kento or like he's going to be the guy who a year from now is getting pushed because he is just, goddamn, he's good. His drop kicks are so good. Holy shit, man.
Let's see the last couple of guys that have, beautiful drop kicks, the Viper, Randy Orton, and the Rainmaker. So that's some pretty damn good company right there. So be on the lookout, Takuma Fujiwara.
God, he's just some great, great work there. There's something else I was just thinking about too, and I can't. It came in and then
what? Why Lana Straight keeps losing after being disbanded from Masquerade. He's lost.
We then had La Estrella, Hammerlock, Northern Lights Driver, or Northern Lights Suplex from Strong Machine J. I went 2.5.
Yes.
Strong Machine J looked better. Still looks kind of green, but looked better than had normally looked, I will say, if that's fair.
He's putting on weight. Is this a different guy under the mask?
And what the hell is the Chucky mask?
Yeah, I had no idea. That was weird.
Apparently he's going to be going on excursion in Mexico, and that's why he wore it as like a.
Oh, that's a thing in Mexico. I'm Mexican. I don't even know that. Wow, yeah. That was a roaring elbow to Escher, though. That was crazy. Paige looks good. It's getting me hyped for that match.
Like I said, isn't it crazy how hard it seems like Adam Page is working because of who he's working? Like that just tells you how great Takeshita is. Jackie Funky Kamei with a jackknife roll through pin defeats Yosuke Santa Maria. I went 2 3 quarters on this one. Was what it was. Nothing special, but it was fine.
Yeah.
And then
but
three
the next
stars.
Part, very special.
Which part are you talking about? The fourth
match? The next matchup.
I
was looking at the Takeshita Hangman Page lariat off the top, and then boom, that was crazy.
Yeah, he hits with that lariat, and Paige hits a lariat, and then comes in with another one.
Wow. He's going to hit him with the go to sleep? What? That's how he wins? He really? Did Kenta say anything about that?
No, not that I saw. Lil' K. Dragon Daya and Hyo Watanabe. I went 3 stars, but I put great finish. Goes to a draw. Dragon Daya hits a tornado DDT off the apron at 18.
Yeah.
Jumps to get in the ring, and Hyo holds his foot so he can't get back in. 2 years running now, he always cost somebody their King of Gate match by holding their foot. Just a, I love it. Like I said earlier, he always now the he's now the spoiler, if you will. He's the same shirt that stupid ass Dick Togo wears, the spoiler.
But it, this time it works. No, I was going to talk about the Ho-Ho Loon victory in that 19-man tag match against the Z-Bag.
Yeah, like I said, he got the he was given the opportunity that he might be able to join.
Yeah.
And like I said, last year, May 22nd, King of Gate, Hio was in the C block, and he took Hip Hop Kikuta's spot, so that's how he got in.
Yeah.
But he cost Yamato when he did the same thing to Yamato.
Yeah.
So this is now a thing. Like this is a hit. This is Hio's got a gimmick, and it's awesome.
Again, I mean, truly. I mean, a good leader, if you will, the Z-Brats. And, no, this was, like I said, this was fun to get back into Dragon Gate, King Gate, doing a lot of fun matches. Not all of them long, as we heard with 38 seconds, but, you know, kind of some of them. I would say the great length of these shows, you know, not only because of my time constraints, but just because the flow just seems a lot better. It feels like a tournament should be, you know. They get a win as quick as you can because you got to keep going and going. So even some of the tag matches have been great, and, you know, pertaining to storylines for Dragon Gate, and it's been fun. And, you know, can't wait to see more. I even put on Dragon Gate Network just now to kind of see, but definitely a little too early.
Are you going to fully get caught up and run through Best of Super Juniors?
Depending on, I might just go through, like, that match intrigues me. That match intrigues me. But otherwise, I might start at night three. Yeah, I was about to say, otherwise, I might just start at night three.
So, should I give the results and match ratings of night
one
and two?
People what they want.
Or do you want to wait a week? Do you want to wait a week to watch the matches?
Give them what they want.
I'm going to say this, and this is something I wasn't expecting with how fucking horny I was for these lineups. 5 of the 10 matches are broke the 3 stars, but nothing. Only one match was 3.5.
Wow.
Good stuff. I enjoyed everything, but it was very average, mediocre wrestling.
Oh.
And I don't mean that as a bad thing, but I had nothing under 2.5, but I had nothing over 3.5. So take that for what you would as your star rating. It's, you know, 3 to 2.5.
So.
Yeah, 2.5. Everything was easy. It was an easy watch on all these, but nothing blew my mind. Nothing popped me. Nothing made me go, oh, shit. It was just kind of like, all right, that was a fun match. Here's my rating. Now, I imagine as the tournaments go with more intriguing matchups at the end of it, more of that will change. I think especially, too, because of how fantastic this lineup is. This is the best Super Junior lineup I think we've had in years. But to go through it real quick, night one, Ace Austin via foot neckbreaker defeats Clark Connors. I went 2 3/4. Alex Zane via spiral tap defeats Yoshinobu Kanemaru. I went 2.5. Francisco Akira with the running double knees to the back of the head defeats Sho. I went 2 3/4. Hiromu with the roll up in a weird match, but it kept my attention. Defeats Ryusuke Taguchi. I went 3 stars. And then main event, I went 3.25 because it was given more time. Taiji Shimori with a crossface defeats Yo.
Huh.
Jeff just said Ace Austin can suck my nuts. Ace Austin's fucking tight.
I do enjoy his work.
And then night two, I'm going to skip the first match because I need to complain. So we're going to skip that. Second match, El Phantasmo with a Brainbuster defeats Bushi. I went 2 3/4. Third
Who?
Match.
Bushi?
Bushi.
Bushi. Okay, I was like, who's Bushi? Sorry, I just saw a man get his head snapped off by an Andre the Giant statue thrown on a chair. I don't know who the man in the ring was.
That was Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss.
What the hell's a Madcap Moss?
That's his friend, Riddick Moss. He played for the Gophers.
Friend Jesus.
Robbie Eagles defeats Wheeler Yuta. I went 3 stars, went to the roll-up.
Oh, wow.
I was surprised the way that Tony Khan doesn't let any of his people, minus Eddie Kingston, who lost to Ishii, lose at any shows, so that blew my mind. Then TJP defeats Master Wato with his version of the Rings of Saturn. I went 3 1/4 on that. That was pretty good. I like the TJP-Francisco Akira United Empire connection, so they're pretty good together. And then my match so far in the tournament, only 3.5, but still my match in the tournament. Desperado with the PGA Loco defeats Titan. It was cool, but whatever.
He's making his way back. I love it. I love Titan.
But then the match ready to pitch about opening match, the G-Rex great champion, L. Lindemann, takes on Dookie. I went 2.5 as via his elevated dragon suplex, Dookie gets a clean win over Lindemann. Get
what?
The fuck
How
out
the
of
hell
here.
Did the Thigh Master himself going down to Dookie?
Get
I don't like that, Ryan.
Out of here. I was pissed. I was like, there's no way that they're not gonna like not only Shima, but Ledette, who used to run Noah, who now runs Great, wouldn't want their champion protected. The first night he loses to Dookie? If he can lose to Dookie, he can lose to Phantasmo, Bushi, Eagles, Utah, TJP, Despy, and Wato, maybe Titan. Probably maybe beats Titan, but you're telling me that this motherfucker is going to go 1-8.
Dookie.
You're telling me L fucking Lindemann, who is one of the best juniors in the world, is going to go 1-8 because that's what this match told me. I was pissed. I said, there's no way he doesn't go 5-4 and get 10 points. Well, he just lost to fucking Dookie. It's clean. There was nothing. Oh. Like, it was a clean loss, and it was the opener. They went
so
like 8 minutes. Yeah. It was like an 8-minute match. I was so mad, Alex. I was so mad. I'm watching this going, what the hell is happening?
Oh, my heart breaks.
I was more shocked that Lindemann lost to Dookie than Kai losing to Shuji Kondo in 39 seconds.
At least Kondo made sense because there's nothing, there's nothing for Kai. But I mean, yeah, like you said, it sets a precedent for the rest of the precedent for the rest of the tournament there. So I mean, that's a little ridiculous. Yeah. That's a head scratcher. Also
where they
a head scratcher.
He lost. Just I don't get it.
A lot of pieces in that puzzle there, but it's good to know. You said Night 3 just dropped last night, and still got to watch that.
It was 18th, maybe. I had been 2 nights ago, but I'm going to try to watch this tonight, like I said.
I'm going to go to bed.
Well, you get to bed, sir. Let's do this again soon and not wait.
Yes, yeah.
Almost 25 days.
Jesus, it was that long? Because we're going to Forbidden Door, y'all. It's going to be tight. We're going to be live full effect because Ryan's going to try to get us press passes, so we got to be more prevalent.
If we get press passes, you best believe we got to bring suits. Yeah, the last show we did was April 26th.
Jesus. We'll do better.
Which, here's what's crazy. Check this out. April 20th, Sportscast. April 25th, Sportscast. April 26th, Wrestlecast. April 27th, Sportscast. And then now today. Nothing has happened. And part of it is because I've had to work every Tuesday. Starting next Tuesday, 8 p.m. Central Time, Sportscast will be back. We're going to be doing 2 to 4 NFL teams a week up until the NFL season. We already have guests lined up ready to go. So we got that shit unlocked to get back to the great NFL coverage that we've been giving y'all. But yeah, Alex, let's watch more tournaments. Let's get caught up. Let's have some fun and talk soon again.
Oh yeah! Don't forget to check out Ryan. Maybe this Friday.
Yes, 100%. I will be back. Like I got it. I got the summer on lock, and the winter too.
Nice.
Like, I got everything set up. I'm gonna go and finish the last of my shit right now. I'll be done in the next hour probably.
ProWrestlingTees.com/WrestleCast.
We still need one more shirt, man. We still need another shirt. We got to figure out our shirt. We need one more.
We'll have to powwow that. Also, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Get your summer bodies in shape. Not going to the gym for about 5 days. Definitely has my effects, but getting back on the wonderfulness from Rep Sports, you know, kind of some intra, some post, some in between, but definitely seeing some great results. Saw a picture of me at Full Gear in November, and I remember that kind of changed me because I was like, I thought I looked better than that. But now, Ryan, I fit into an old a pair of, you know, kind of pajama pants that I haven't been able to fit in a while. They're a size large, and I was like, I'm going to try them. They're Chicago Cubs, and they fit very nice. So definitely
I
recommend the product. I'm again at the promo code, save 15% by using a WrestleCast at the promo coupon when you check out. So have a wonderful, wonderful different array of different supplements, or you know, even energy drinks or snacks or pancakes, and some cool gear and merch as well. So check it out again, WrestleCast, using the promo coupon at checkout to save 15%.
Hell yeah. Alex, it was a pleasure. We'll
always,
jump back
always.
In. Hopefully next.
I'll get a computer soon and I'll sound better instead of live via satellites.
We'll make it work. We always do. King of Gate ain't going nowhere, so we will be back soon.
More
King of Gate, right. More Best of Super Juniors. And we got Double or Nothing coming up in a few days.
Yeah, we got to give that preview next week, as well as, yeah, like you said, more Dragon Gate and maybe some Best of Super Juniors tag act. Well, say goodnight, Ryan.
Goodnight, Ryan.
Deuce.